Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
And today is Wednesday, August 29th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, police have made an arrest in the hit-and-run death of a 70-year-old man who was killed in Levittown after getting ice cream. Anthony Woods was charged with third-degree murder, homicide by vehicle, reckless driving, and failing to render aid. Authorities said Emmanuel Weintraub had just bought ice cream at JoJo's on New Falls Road and was walking with a cane back to his car when he was struck. Police said surveillance video captured the entire incident. Investigators said that based on the footage, Woods struck Weintraub with his Nissan Altima while he was crossing New Falls Road in a designated crosswalk and then drove away from the scene. According to the criminal complaint, the police located Woods' car, then noted damage to the windshield, which Woods said was obtained while copping drugs in Philadelphia. The complaint also said Woods asked an auto body repair shop to throw away any receipts and not to speak to police about his damaged windshield. According to, according to investigators, during an interview on Tuesday morning, Woods admitted to hitting a person with his car on August 21st, but he said that he thought it was a child, not an adult.
Excuse me?
This guy should just keep his mouth shut.
Yeah, that makes it, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I thought it was a kid. That's why I kept going. If I would have known it was an adult, I would have stopped.
Yeah.
I mean, just a kid.
You don't have to stop. The law doesn't dictate that.
But you know what it was? So the guy was crossing the street in a crosswalk. The cars had stopped. And this guy drove around the stopped cars and hit the guy.
Sadly, I see that happen a fair amount.
I do, too.
Yeah, well, people will jump the line and go to the intersection or whatever you're stopped at.
It's they'll go around. They don't have time to wait.
Yeah.
God, I hate it.
You know, I don't know her name, and I don't know her condition now, but, I mean, she was permanently injured in Conshohocken. Same thing. They stopped. She was a little girl, and she was walking across the street, and the guy drove around the car that was stopped and hit her. And, I mean, hurt her bad.
I see moronic stuff like that almost on a daily basis. That's what I just don't get it, man.
Yeah. When I cross an intersection, I've seen some people just kind of walk along and look down. I'm always looking around because people cut through intersections and jump lines all the time.
Yeah, so this guy, they got him. He's being charged. But unfortunately, this guy passed away when
he was horrible.
Hit. A Taiwanese exchange student accused of threatening to carry out a shooting at his Delaware County High School pleaded guilty to federal firearms charge on Tuesday. An So's son was arraigned in federal court where he entered a guilty plea. A judge scheduled sentencing for December, but son's attorney, Robert Keller, asked that the date be moved up once the pre-sentencing report is finished. The 18-year-old student agreed to be deported and to not re-enter the United States without permission. He previously pleaded guilty to state terroristic threat charges and was sentenced to 4 to 23 months. He was immediately paroled and reprimanded to federal custody to face a charge of an alien in possession of ammunition. The judge could sentence Sun up to 10 years in prison and up to $250,000 in fines. School authorities were alerted in March that Sun talked about a May 1st shooting at Bonner and Archbishop Prendergast High School in Upper Darby. The teen called the talk a joke, but authorities found more than 1,600 rounds of ammunition as well as weapons in his home. Now, his attorney, Keller, previously said Sun had no intention or plans to commit a school shooting, and many of the items found were what he wore to school for a Halloween costume contest. A military-style ballistic vest, ammunition clips, clip pouches, a high-powered crossbow, and live ammunition were found in Sun's bedroom in Lansdowne, Upper Darby. Police Superintendent Michael Chitwood said a search of his school-issued iPad indicated searches on how to buy an AK-47 and an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle, police said. Sun's parents are actor and assistant film director Sun Peng and actress Dai Ying. Keller said that they were in Philadelphia and had been visiting their son weekly, but chose not to come to court Tuesday to try to remove some of the spotlight from their son. He said that they have been upset because their son was expelled 2 months before graduating high school and had been accepted to Temple University. A Philadelphia police detective has been taken off the streets and is now under investigation after writing a vulgar and racially charged letter. The letter was placed on top of a trash can inside the homicide division. It starts with a complaint about food left in a wastebasket. First addressed to a fellow coworker, the letter has launched an internal investigation. Because of some of the language that is in here, some which is historically has references to African Americans in particular, that's why it's deeply concerning, said Commissioner Richard Ross. Part of the letter said, you can't blame a filthy savage for being a filthy savage. And I'm sure you were a you were not burdened by by significant schooling and were birthed to an alcoholic absent father and a rancid whore of a mother. You simply are ignorant of the fact that you are little more than an upright animal.
Does this all have to...
Whoa.
Did this start with ribs being left in the garbage can? That's what I heard? That's the letter?
It was something about food in a trash can.
Effing people.
Right? Right?
Oh, my God.
The letter was brought to the attention of police officers on Monday after copies of the note were made by another officer and distributed. Since then, the 22-year veteran of the force with 12 years in the homicide division was taken off of street duty. We have an obligation to have a fair investigation as well, Ross said. But in the words that I read that are emanating from this page caused me deep concern. In sports this morning... Vince Velasquez, a pinch-running pitcher, was called out for leaving second base early while tagging up, resulting in a game-ending double play that gave the Washington Nationals a 5-4 win over the Phillies last night at the ballpark. The Nats rallied for three runs in the ninth to take a 5-3 lead. Wilson Ramos got the Phillies within a run with a pinch-hit double in the bottom half, and Velasquez ran for the catcher. Jorge Alfaro was called out after a fly ball to center, with Velasquez moving to third as the potential tying run. Velasquez slid past the bag but wasn't tagged. The Nats appealed that Velasquez left too soon. He was called out, and a replay upheld the ruling. The series wraps up tonight, and Gio Gonzalez will pitch for the Nats. Jake Arrieta for the Phils. Game time is at 7:05. Before the game, the New York Mets traded Jose Bautista to the Phillies for a player to be named later or cash considerations. Bautista, a six-time All-Star with the Toronto Blue Jays, has 342 career home runs, but only hit 204 with 9 home runs and 37 RBIs since signing with the Mets. As a pinch hitter, however, Joey Batts is hitting 350 with 11 RBIs. The Union, who have won 4 matches in a row, will look to build on their winning streak when they play DC United tonight in Washington. The match gets underway at 8 o'clock, and the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah!
And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. It's going to be a banner day today. Man, do we have a lot going on. I'm excited when stuff like this lines up. First of all, we begin with something we do regularly on Wednesdays. We have a secret text word, and we have a chance to win a pair of tickets as MMR Rock. The Outlaw Music Festival. Willie Nelson and family will be there.
That's so cool.
Van Morrison is on the bill. Tedeschi Trucks Band, Greenski Bluegrass, a few that I'm not familiar with, but this is a full-on music festival. And we have a chance to win the tickets. The show is Saturday, September 15th. Tickets are on sale now. So text the word SECRET to 39333, and we'll send a word back to you later on this morning. We'll have two opportunities for you to win, one by calling in and giving us that secret text word, or one by winning, but simply by us choosing you randomly. So you may as well go for it. Text the word SECRET to 39333. We go on TV. We'll check in with Fox Good Day this morning, do a little chit-chat with those guys. We also have comedian Chip Chantry, who's stopping by. He's actually recording an album at Helium Comedy Club tonight and wants to fill the house.
That's very cool.
So there's a show this evening. We'll talk to Chip about that, and you could be there for a part of it. And if you caught the Bizarre File story, or maybe the viral video and story that's been circulating for the past week or so, we have a gentleman who goes by the name Paul Flart on the show. So he's the security guard who spent 6 months on his phone making videos of himself farting while he's working at his desk. And it kind of took off, and it's a compilation. It's just one after another after another after another. And he's just simply looking at the camera.
A subtle facial acknowledgement.
Believe it or not, he got wind.
Yeah, that's very good.
That we had it in the Bizarre File, and he emailed me.
How about that?
And curious if he'd want to be, if we'd want to have him on the show. Yeah. So I sent it to Casey. He got in touch with him. So we're going to talk to him. He got fired from his job for this. And I actually think he and Casey are kindred spirits. So,
oh, yeah. Apparently, he's looking at some opportunities here,
that's
Preston.
That's part of the reason why we're having him on as well. Yeah, well, he wants to jump on this opportunity and get any kind of promotion. He said he was going to create some promotional items like that. Yeah, so we'll have Paul Flart, the farter. His name is Doug.
Yeah.
But he'll be on later on this morning to tell us his tale.
We want to hear his tale and find out all about what comes out of his tale.
Yes, we have. It's real journalism here on the
Absolutely. Investigative reporting.
That is correct. So these things and more are taking place. We're going to take a quick break, come back in a second, and we'll start the winning with a stupid question and our entertainment report. Back in a minute.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
Hey, gang, it's Preston. Listen, these days, you know how it is. You can get practically everything you want on demand. I mean, it's like our podcast. You listen whenever you want, when it's convenient for you. But did you know that you can even get postage on demand? Hey, all you need is Stamps.com. What is that? Well, I'm here to tell you, friends, with Stamps.com, you can access all the services of the post office and do it right from your desk. All available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You just click, you print, you mail, and you're done, my friend. Stamps.com will even send you a digital scale so you can weigh your letters and packages and print the exact amount of postage every single time. Here's what you got to do to get it all, gang. Right now, use Gadzooks for a special free offer. They have a 4-week trial that includes postage and the digital scale. So don't wait on this. You want to check it out now. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in the word Gadzooks. Once again, that's stamps.com and enter Gadzooks. Check this out.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Anyway. All right. This morning, stupid question. Going to give away a pair of tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco. He will be at the Wells Fargo Center on Thursday, September 13th. And the question I have for you this morning is, what is the best part about being wounded in the butt talks? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know that. What is the best part about being wounded in the butt talks? Call now if you know the answer. You might win those tickets. So birthdays today on the 29th day of August include the stunningly gorgeous Lea Michele.
Oh, yes.
Who's from the show Glee. I don't know her from anything else. In fact, I didn't even watch Glee. In fact, I've only seen pictures of her. I've never actually seen her.
She did a great photo shoot with that cast. Do you remember? I think it was in GQ magazine. It was actually Corey Monteith, right? That was
He was in that as well. Yeah, they were together.
She was in Scream Queens. Scream Queens.
Yeah, I'm looking at her IMDb. Yeah.
And she just hosted, filled in for Ellen.
Hmm.
And, she had Mel B on Ellen's show. She was running the talk show.
I didn't know Ellen had people fill in for her.
She did.
Wow.
And does periodically.
Okay. Lea Michele is 32 years old today. Rebecca De Mornay.
Oh, my God.
There was a time where she was so sexy.
Risky business.
Yeah. And it's her eyes. They have this kind of
smoky,
I'm going to rip you apart look about her. And she has an attitude.
That's my finger.
There you go. Yeah, you know what that is?
That's all you need to say.
That's my finger. And it's okay.
It's okay. Stop trembling.
But she was risky business. She broke out in there. She's really good in that movie, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. Oh, my God. She was scary in that.
Very much so. And she's become an excellent, mature actress, as they say, for lack of a better word.
But she was the nanny?
She's the nanny, the lunatic.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, in Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Yeah, correct. She's 59 years old today.
And she goes after that kid in the playground. The kid is giving her charge crap at school.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Also celebrating a birthday today, Elliot Gould, who's been around forever. He's 80 years old today. Wow.
Elliot Gould will forever be... I've loved many things Elliot Gould has been, and he's an accomplished actor. But I will never forget him being at an Andrew Dice Clay. They had footage of him at an Andrew Dice Clay show when Andrew Dice Clay went off on a rant about Barbara Streisand. They used to be together and talking about what it must be like to have to bang Elliot Gould. I don't know if he knew Elliot Gould was in the audience.
Yeah.
But you see him like, hey, you just see him just sinking like, oh, my God.
Really?
It's hilarious. Yeah.
Wow. I loved him in MASH, the movie.
Yeah.
Which was great. And
Capricorn 1.
Ocean's 11, yeah. And American History X. Wow.
Oh, my God.
What a movie. He's 80 years old today. William Friedkin, who directed The Exorcist and The French Connection, a couple of really big films.
Genius.
Is 83 today.
One of my absolute favorite directors.
Wow. Then you have another director, Steve, who's done a lot of good stuff as well. Joel Schumacher.
Yes.
Who did Lost Boys, the classic Lost Boys.
Yes. Listen, how can you not love the Lost Boys?
There it is.
Nice. Yeah.
Also, The Client, and he had his hand in a couple of Batman movies. Not the greatest, Batman Forever and Batman and Robin.
I'll tell you what he did do with Batman Forever is that he... My issue with the movies, and I love, Michael Keaton, and I love the whole deal leading up to it, but I wanted to see more of Batman fighting, and mm-hmm. Joel Schumacher gave that to us.
Yeah, he's 79 years old today. Carla Gugino, who Kathy has worked with.
Yeah, that's right. She was so nice.
Yeah, she was cool.
Yeah, you know, it was a little...
We had her in here, didn't we?
She came in. It was Mighty Max was the movie, and I had, a small little scene. I didn't even... Actually, I did speak. It was on the intercom at the airport, but...
Oh, that's not the one where you were the hooker.
No. And she came out and it was a little intimidating, I had a trailer, I had to go to makeup, I had to go to wardrobe, whole thing. And it was a little intimidating. It was a little scary to be there. And I think she kind of knew and came over to me and was chatting with me and kind of just, was like, it's fine. It'll be fine. And was calm. And she was great.
Yeah, she is great. Sin City, Watchmen, Sucker Punch.
Son-in-Law.
And Wayward Pines. That's right. She was the main...
She's the female
lead in Son-in-Law.
Is that coming back? What? Is there another Wayward Pines?
I didn't
watch the second season.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah.
Was it good?
I liked it. It was cool.
It ended with, Preston, things got out of whack and got more dystopian. Yeah. So those things outside got
inside. Yeah.
Okay.
And now they were becoming the dominant.
Yes. But it was left... As if there could be another season.
Yes, okay. Open-ended.
I did like that first one a lot.
Yeah.
So, she's 47 today. And then the last birthday today that I have on the list is Temple Grandin. You remember the film was made about her.
Claire Danes.
Claire Danes played her, and she was a woman who has autism, but she had she was a professor of animal science, and she did some groundbreaking work in livestock equipment.
Yes.
And she also, for people who have issue who are on the autism spectrum, she created this thing called the Hug Box, which actually kind of constricts them a little bit and makes them feel comfortable.
If you've never seen the movie, you got to see it because it's pretty amazing.
It's great. And she is 72 years old today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. What's the best thing about being wounded in the buttocks? 215-263-WMMR, the number. And I will go to, let's try Anthony. Anthony, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Good, buddy. What's the best thing about being wounded in the buttocks?
You got to eat lots of ice cream.
Ice cream. You are correct, sir. Hang on a second. We'll get your information, Anthony. They give you all the ice cream you can eat. And we got a pair of tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco Thursday, September 13th, Wells Fargo Center. And it's the second leg of his record-breaking international Stay Hungry tour, named after his new international best-selling book. And tickets are on sale now at WellsFargoCenter.com, by the way. All right, so let's get into some of the stories that I have for you. We'll begin with Louis C.K.
Yes.
9 months after he admitted to sexual misconduct, he returned to the stage for a surprise set at New York's Comedy Cellar. Club owner Noam Dworman told the New York Times that C.K. took the stage Sunday night. At 11 o'clock, he did about 15 minutes. The sold-out show held 115 people, and he was greeted with a standing ovation. The 50-year-old Louis star was reportedly very relaxed. One person did call the club later to complain about his appearance. They just wish they would have known ahead of time that he was going to be there. But overall, the reception was positive. He worked a typical Louis C.K. set, riffing on racism and tips and leaving out anything about the five women who said that he had them to watch him pleasure himself. He admitted to the wrongdoing after the allegations came out. Reception to the news on social media was mixed, as you would imagine.
Of course.
With some saying that he'd done his time and others dragged him for attempting to revive his career. So a few, like Elaine Boozler said that Louis C.K., the comic known for exploring reality last night, performed typical Louis C.K. stuff, racism, waitress tips, parades, WTF. And another comedian, Apinar Nansherla wrote, Louis C.K. getting a standing ovation for dropping in a comedy club less than a year after admitting sexual misconduct tells you all you need to know about how society applauds powerful men for doing less than the minimum of decency. But a few did come to a defense, like Michael Ian Black stood up for him. He said, we'll take heat for this, but people have to be allowed to serve their time and move on with their lives. I don't know if it's been long enough or if his career will recover or if people will have him back. But I'm happy to see him try, Seth.
I have a serious question, and because I don't know what the answer is. And when there's, and I would like to hear from people who believe in the Me Too movement, because I don't know what happens next when there aren't criminal charges. When there's somebody who's going up against things and they've done reprehensible things that should be condemned, but they're not going to prison for it. They're not going to serve jail time.
Yeah, I think it goes on.
What do you do for that person? Do you ask them to just disappear and never come back again? I don't know.
No, and here we were talking about this, the quagmire of this whole thing yesterday, and it's a case-per-case basis. Louis C. immediately, by my recollection, took ownership of it.
And is that enough?
So at what point, and again, I'm right with you, you're not making any judgments, at what point is he allowed to come back and start making a living or doing what he does, or how do you make that entree back into it? You know, it's a question I have no answers to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the saying, time heals all wounds.
Yeah.
And some wounds are deeper than others and take longer to heal, I would imagine. I mean, you can use an example of this James Gunn thing. He made that tweet 10 years ago, but it has just been made a spectacle of. I think over time that will lessen as well. And this will as well, but it's a putting your toe in the water thing, and you've got to test the waters a little bit and see where it is. And listen, there for some people, it's never going to be.
It's never going to be, and you have to know that.
For other people, it's about time. You know? So I don't know. There's no
look at Pee Wee Herman. So liken this to the Pee Wee Herman thing. Now Pee Wee Herman was self molestation, but still, it was
he
at that point
public.
He did it in public. It was. They said it could kill his career. It did not. It took a ding.
Slowed it down for a little bit.
Yeah.
And he had to slowly work his way back. But I think that's what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
So, but because his is not as overt as, say, rape, like a Harvey Weinstein thing or assault.
Or Bill Cosby. You know, there are trials involved.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it'll soften over time. But it's always going to be a footnote in his life.
Mm-hmm. It always will be. Yeah.
Ben Affleck's role in Batman has long been in question, and now his stint in rehab may sink it, but not for the reason you may think. It's the cost of insurance that has gotten too high, experts are saying.
I'll cover it.
Affleck,
I hate to say this, Preston, but him in this current state is exactly my favorite Batman.
Yeah.
Because in the Frank Miller Batman, he was, a depressed...
Alcoholic.
But I wouldn't want to parlay that to make a movie that I enjoy. But he was, it costs a lot. You're throwing all these people into a work situation. There are millions and millions and millions of dollars at stake. And you understand why a movie company says no.
I don't think he's got a track record of being a loose cannon on set, though. That's the thing. You know what I mean?
I have heard that when he is lit up, and when he has had issues and bouts of this in the past, he shows up, he's professional, but it can be very difficult.
Okay. Affleck checked himself into rehab last week for the third time in the last two decades, and the second time a little more than a year, which may price him out of tent poles like the Batman. More than likely, the studio will replace him because the insurance costs are going to go through the roof. A representative for a completion bond company told The Wrap. The insider said that insurers, at a minimum, may demand half of the film's budget to be set aside as escrow, which could quickly add up as the production budget on Justice League was $300 million. And that $300 million, that would drive the budget for a Justice League sequel up to $450 million before marketing expenses. Now, to backtrack a little bit, in the late 90s and early 2000s, Robert Downey Jr. faced similar issues.
Yes, that's right.
He had real substance abuse problems. Robert Altman ended up gambling on him and hiring him sans insurance, which was a big risk. And later, Mel Gibson had to pay Downey's insurance bond himself so he could appear in the movie The Singing Detective, which I don't even remember. Insiders say the route back to mainstream Hollywood may be via the indies, a la Downey, who has enjoyed massive commercial success again with Iron Man and so on. But he had to prove himself before he could get roles like that.
He did, actually. And to that point, Mel Gibson was instrumental in getting Robert Downey Jr. work. Mm-hmm. Nobody would touch him. Mm-hmm. And at that time, before Mel's World crashed down,
yeah,
he was the one that made sure he got back in.
You're right. How about this? Eddie Murphy is expecting his 10th child.
Whoa. 10 children!
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me?
This will be his second.
Kathy, by what? 14 different women. Right? I don't even know how that works.
This will be his second with longtime love Paige Butcher. They welcomed Izzy in May of 2016.
I do wonder how many moms there are, though.
Well, I'll give you the breakdown.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So
you have a piece of paper and a pen?
Yeah,
so,
right.
So there's the one woman, Paige, now. This will be their second.
Right.
He also has 8 children from previous relationships. Bria, Miles, Shane, Zola, and Bella. So that's 5 from his first marriage to ex-Nicole Murphy. And Christian from his relationship with Tamara Hood. So that's 3 ladies. Son Eric from the actor's relationship with Paulette McNeely. So that's 4 ladies. An 11-year-old daughter, and I forgot about this.
Yeah, I know.
Angel from his relationship with Spice Girl Mel B.
Mel B.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that, Preston, I was reading the article yesterday, and I'm like, that's right. He has a kid with Scary Spice.
News
5 baby mamas.
News began making the rounds after Butcher was spotted with a burgeoning belly in Los Angeles. Eddie is currently filming Dolomite Is My Name with Triplets and Beverly Hills Cop 4 to begin production soon. Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Okay. Yeah, you don't need to do that.
Seriously?
I don't know. I'm
you see game. The third one?
Well, but that was so long ago.
Yeah, you know? maybe cooler heads or smarter people have gotten involved and would know how to make a
or maybe all the audience movie. Has forgotten how crappy the third
but
one was.
But also, like, texturally, you know, the filmmaking is different than when Beverly Hills Cop 3 came out.
True. Very, very true. All right.
God, I can't believe he has so many kids.
Yeah. Johnny Depp has scored a big legal victory against his former talent lawyer, Jake Blum. L.A. Judge Terry Green has ruled that Depp's oral contract with Blum is invalid, and observers say reverberations from the decision will be felt across Hollywood. Depp sued Blum in October.
This is a great day for justice.
Asserting that he collected more than $30 million in contingent fees without a formal contract. Blum countersued, claiming a 1999 oral agreement should be considered valid. The judge said, I grew up in a showbiz family. I am aware that showbiz people think that they live in a different universe, but they don't. They're not a different universe.
These contingent, this situation here, and I was trying to understand exactly what this pertains to. Is it basically you're giving your representation a bit of carte blanche to pay for things that and expenses that come up concerning you and your career as you move along? Like, you're, in other words, there's sort of an allocation that they can access for that when they need to handle legal matters for you.
I'm not really sure, Steve.
I don't really
I don't know what a contingent fee is.
So I was trying to think, and as I was reading, you know, some of this, I thought that might have been it, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. But it was $30 million.
$30 million.
It's not chump change. In March, Depp's team noted that California law requires contingency fee agreements to be put in writing.
What the hell?
Blum's
say on Kunkka.
He's the only one that can have a good conversation with
Nels' his representation.
Yeah.
You have to talk to my lawyer.
Right, here's your lawyer.
Blum's
yeah, get him. Yeah, get him. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Blum's team rejoined saying,
yeah, come away. Yeah, exactly. Good thing, good. Yeah, you beat the Tay.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Good thing, good.
Yeah. So Blum's team rejoined saying Depp implicitly ratified the arrangement by accepting legal services. Depp is now seeking to recoup millions in legal fees paid out over 18 years. The case is set for trial on May 6th. Blum's attorneys may seek to appeal the judge's decision. So we'll see about that.
So a contingent fee is you get charged only if the lawsuit is successful or favorably settled out of court.
All right.
Okay.
I still don't quite get it, but we'll go with that.
Yeah, okay. All right, Rock icon Neil Young and actress Daryl Hannah, I believe, got married over the weekend.
I believe you're right. I saw a couple of sources. I think the New York Post had the story as well.
Yeah, it's just social media posts or the official announcement.
So is she 55 and he's in his 70s?
He's 72. She's 57.
Huh.
They've been dating for a few years, since 2014. And what tipped it off is guitarist Mark Miller wrote on Facebook, "Congratulations to Daryl Hannah and Neil Young on their wedding today. May they have a long and happy relationship." So it was the Mirror that reported that they got married on Saturday in Adesero, California.
Huh.
So not much more than just that information that they...
She was with, so the famous men in her past would include Jackson Brown. She was with him for years. And Kennedy, wasn't she with...
Yeah, she was with John. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. So here you go. Let's see here. I'm looking at seeing if there's more details, but no, this is about their relationship in the past. So
if she has any sense of humor at their wedding reception, they should have served lobster and she should have eaten it the way she did in Splash.
Right. Just
the shell and all.
Right into the shell. Yeah. Teen mom Janelle Evans claims that she had PTSD after her road rage incident.
But she forgot how to spell it.
The show recently aired footage of Evans pulling a gun on another driver after he allegedly tailgated her. She said, "Ever since then, I've been having PTSD. I've been having nightmares. When that incident happened, I didn't even leave my house for the first 2 weeks." She added that she was enraged because her 8-year-old son was in the car. She said, "All I thought about was that the other driver almost hurt my son," she said. "He almost knocked my son out, and that's what pissed me off. It wasn't even about me. It was about Jace. It just makes me so mad." She also weighed in on her husband David Eason's ouster from the show after posting homophobic tweets. She said he still feels the way he feels. He thinks that he shouldn't have said it the way he did, but he still stands by his views. I don't even know what they were. He deleted it right afterwards. He said that he was sorry and he still hasn't been on Twitter. He can still go online right now and rant all he wants. He still doesn't. We've discussed it, and I've said you don't need to be as outspoken.
Oh, good.
Okay. I'm confident that this kid has the best possible parents.
Yeah, right. Let's see here. In a new court filing obtained by E, Paul Haggis is claiming that all sexual interactions between him and Haley Breest were consensual. Breest claimed that he forced her to give him oral. In addition to Haggis' refutation of any impropriety, he included testimony from dozens of women who offered statements of support to Haggis. So he's been accused, and...
You want to talk about the fallout of a lot of this stuff, Nick, is that you have a lot of these things. And anyone who brings a case that really has no merit into the whole deal is sullying and diminishing legitimate cases.
He hasn't really worked since 2013.
Yep. But, you know, that's what's going to happen.
That's what's going to happen.
Yep. Saturday Night Live star Pete Davidson admits that he once tried to drown himself as a child.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't realize how effed up. You know, his dad died, a firefighter, in 9/11.
Yeah, he talks about that. He said, "I've been in and out of mental health facilities since I was 9. He's 24 years old now, and he's talking to Variety's in their annual Power of Young Hollywood issue, which was published yesterday. He said, "I tried to drown myself in the pool when I was in 4th or 5th grade. I was trying to get my head stuck in the ladder in the deep end so I would not be able to get up."
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he spoke out about losing his father when he was 7 and the role that it's played in his life. He said, "If my dad didn't die, I wouldn't be a comic. He said, I'd be a construction worker in Staten Island or a basketball coach. I learned what death was. And you're not really supposed to learn about that until high school when one of your friends falls asleep in the garage or whatever," he said. "To learn how anything could just be taken away from you early gave me this sense of F it, whatever, dude. So I'm able to do stand up and F around because hopefully the worst thing that's ever happened to me already happened."
So he had a stint in rehab, and I guess Lorne Michaels and everybody was very supportive. He left SNL for a little bit, came back, and now look what he's going to marry Ariana Grande. But He has one of those tattoos, Preston, that he got for the best of intentions. He's a huge Hillary Clinton fan, and he got a tattoo, but it just doesn't quite look like her. And it
it's supposed to be a picture? Oh,
yes,
no.
in celebration of her, and it just doesn't quite look like her.
Yeah, that happens. On his fiancée, Ariana Grande, he said, I never thought I'd meet anyone like her. I can't even put into words how great of a person she is. I could cry. He said she's the effing coolest, hottest, nicest person I've ever met. So he's happy.
For now.
Is you and yeah, right, I think exactly. What
here you go, Preston. There's the tattoo.
Yeah, it's a little off.
Yeah.
Selma Hayek's husband, Francois-Henri Pinet.
Who's a billionaire, is he not?
I don't know.
I believe he is a billionaire.
Surprised her on vacation by organizing a ceremony for them to renew their vows.
He wants to lock that in as tight as he can get.
Their daughter, Valentia Paloma Pinot, was a witness. The summer is coming to an end, she wrote, and my best moment was when my husband surprised me with a vow renewal. So she's quite happy about
this. Have you considered that? You've been married for a number of years. I'm
20. It'll be 20 next year.
Yeah, I'm 21 going on 22. So, that's something I'd like to
absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Steve, he's not only a billionaire, he's a 26 billionaire.
$26 billion.
It's just an astounding amount of money.
And so he has Salma Hayek.
Yeah,
you can do anything you want whenever you want to do it.
Exactly.
As often as you want to do it. Anything.
Yeah. You know that kid in the Twilight Zone episode that could make things disappear and go away?
There you go.
He had less power than this guy.
Yep. Yeah. All right, one last story. Rotten Tomatoes has updated its critics policy. Freelancers and critics from established publications will be included, and it's also opening the door to podcasts and digital video reviews.
Well, the more the merrier.
I guess so, but I've heard stories about how it can be done to sabotage certain movies by simply all of a sudden, hey, I'm a reviewer, and I'm going to give this a lousy review.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess that is definitely a possibility.
Over the past few years, this is according to Rotten Tomatoes Critics Relations Manager, Jenny Giardini. She wrote, over the past few years, our team has added hundreds of new voices to the tomato meter on top of the thousands we currently have, with the goal of creating a critics pool that closely reflects the global entertainment audience. We took another key step today by revamping our critics' criteria that both shifts our focus to approving critics individually rather than through publications, and introduce updated guidelines for newer media platforms to be a part of the tomato meter.
Do you know what this means?
I don't know.
This means it's quite possible that Rotten Tomatoes, the review, the algorithm, will have to take into consideration what Rockstar Rob thinks.
Yeah.
And Craig LaGon.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
The site has come under fire most recently for its 0% rating of the John Travolta top line Gotti. Many attributed the sub-level ratings to its complete commercial failure. So,
well, it was also a terrible movie. So.
You saw it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to stop. Listen.
It was that
bad? John Travolta was fine, and maybe he should have hired a competent director and supporting cast. But if it wasn't for him, maybe I'll give it a 1% because of John Travolta.
Okay.
But everything else around, I was like, this is trash.
I think the thing with Rotten Tomatoes, and people don't get it, it's not one reviewer. It's not, you know, they're not writing the review. They're basing the review on general things that they look for in other reviews, and then they come up with this.
Yeah.
This score. Yep. But I always take it with a grain of salt.
Sure.
If I want to see the movie, I'm still going to see it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're ready for clips here. Suits tells the story of big-time lawyer Harvey Specter and his team constantly facing betrayals, fiery relationships, and secrets throughout the firm. Here, Katherine Heigl shares her reaction towards joining the cast.
Just knowing that, I'm stepping into something that has been around for 8 years, a cast that knows each other really well as family. I know what that's like. I've been on a show for that long. So I did definitely have this sort of nervous new girl in school thing. And it was just so embracing and lovely that it put me at ease. But I also just was nervous because I love the show so much. I didn't want to mess it up by being on it.
I don't give a f***.
A new episode of Suits airs tonight at 9. On USA.
I hate when people use the word lovely to describe something. I don't know why.
It's so lovely.
No, it seems like fake to me. Like, really? Yes. Lovely?
That's what it is? Oh, well, aren't you a dear? Yeah. Well, aren't you a deer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not sure. That board doesn't affect
it,
me.
It depends
that way,
on how it's being said. And yeah. since we know that this particular actress is a horrible person and liar. No.
Somebody just recently said it to me, just in conversation. And I was like, it's lovely.
I mean, really?
I
think I'm going to punch you in the face.
Hey, all right. Well, it was nice talking to you. Get out of my face.
Let's do the next one.
I want to put my elbow into your temple.
Yeah. What the hell is this? The Real Housewives of New York cast member Dorinda?
Yes.
Medley?
Oh, my God. Dorinda Medley.
Dorinda Medley.
Yes.
Found fame. Well, she found fame in the fashion world, and her newest husband, financier Dr. Richard Medley.
What about Vegetable Medley, their kid?
They are good. A former Washington power broker and respected speechwriter. Here, she describes what she thinks of herself. And here's what I think.
Enough about you. What about me?
And her co-stars. Here we go.
What I've realized after being on it for so many years, we are just wacky people with wacky, interesting lives. I mean, I had a moment the other day where I was thinking if the cameras were rolling, people would, like, be hysterical.
I don't give a f-.
Well, she seems lovely.
She certainly seems lovely.
Mm-hmm. I loved how in the description she described that man as her newest husband.
Newest, yeah, Dr. Kenneth. Yeah.
Right, what's you know. My newest.
It's not a car or a pair of shoes.
Sure you, it is. You all know Dr. Kenneth Noseworthy.
Kenneth Noseworthy.
Yeah.
A new episode of The Real Housewives of Nueva York airs at 8 p.m. on Bravo.
Dear Lord.
Or is that Dr. Chet Wainwright?
Yeah, Dr. exactly, Chet yeah. Wainwright, exactly. All right, and there you go. That is what I have for you this morning. Am I supposed to read this?
It's just a nice text. It's a positivity. We were talking about positivity earlier this week.
Sometimes Nick will highlight text.
Yes.
And just to make sure that I see them, because we share a screen here. It says, I'm especially grateful for all of you today. Life is sort of heavy right now, and it's hard to crawl out of bed, but you made me laugh already this morning, and now I'm up and about. Thank you. Well, that's nice.
Oh, that's very lovely.
That is lovely.
You are so lovely.
I think you will all agree that the number one joy is this aspect of being able to do the show and be a part of people's mornings.
Yes.
and get responses like that. It's our honor. An honor.
Yeah. That and the free food is pretty good.
It is pretty good.
Yeah. So thank you. We appreciate you checking in, and we hope the rest of your day goes as kick-assly as possible. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. We got guests and stuff, and I'll get to all that when we return. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR. Online, on demand, and on the air. Including our digital HD signal. The best-sounding MMR there is. WMMR HD and HD2. MM Archives Channel.
Hey, can I do a real quick shout out?
Yes.
This one's overdue. This was from Heidi Zadoiko. Zadoiko? Yeah, Zadoiko. It says, I want to thank you guys both in the community and just making the mornings more enjoyable. I was right to ask for a shout out for my older brother, Tom. Tom has been working at the PA Ren Fair for years. You've probably seen him if you've been to the Mud Squad shows. Or perhaps his earlier days of Buckle and Swash, the pirate show, or even as the sheriff many years ago.
I love all that stuff.
Yeah.
I got to get it. The Ren Fair is in full vigor now, or when does it kick in?
We gave away tickets, so I think it's underway now. It starts either at the very beginning of September or as we speak. We'll have to look into that.
It's been a couple years.
Can you see if it's open, if the PA Ren Fair is open? He is set to marry his longtime girlfriend, Melissa, in June of next year. They met doing Ren Fairs around the country. He's proof that you can really make a living doing what you love. Thanks, you guys rock. And that is from us, Heidi. So here's a shout out to her brother. And Nick is looking up the schedule.
It looks like they got stuff going now. And August 4th, it began.
Oh, there you go.
They have stuff, special themes this weekend as well for Liberty Weekend.
I got to go. My daughter, we all love going to that. It's a lot of fun. Congratulations to you, man, getting engaged and everything. And then real quick, I want to mention a charity plug. We had a guest in here yesterday who wanted me to pass this along. I said, no problem. It's the Zachary Wallace Fund Memorial Golf Outing, and it's coming up Saturday, September 22nd. By the way, I love when you guys have golf outings on Saturdays. Thank you very much. The work week is kind of hard to fit them in, but I know they're more expensive to do, and it's harder to get funds raised. But anyhow, Saturday, September 22nd at Jeffersonville. Jeffersonville Golf Club, and proceeds go to families of children with rare diseases and special needs. And it's in honor of this this kid, Zachary, who died when he was 4 years old. But he has a brother who has the same problem, I was told, and I don't have the name of the actual rare disease. But anyhow, he's doing okay from what I understand. There's dinner and prizes and all kinds of great stuff. So anyhow, for details, you can go to ZacharyWallaceFund.com or... you can look on the community page of PrestonandSteve.com and get that information there as well.
Nice.
So, you know, asking for funds for something like that.
Yeah,
I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
Asking for funds for something like that, you understand, obviously, because it's a charitable organization that's going to help people out. Asking for money for your wedding to be exotic is a different story. So...
This thing that's been going around.
Yeah, this has been making the rounds, this story. So this
it's vomit-inducing.
Canadian woman who's only known as Susan attempted to circumvent all wedding costs by asking her friends and family to pay up to attend her wedding. So they're asking them to pay to come to the wedding, but it's not just like, you know, $100 a plate or something like that. And by the way, you're not supposed to do that anyway. I don't think I've ever paid to go to a wedding.
So, but just a quick thing here. When you usually... Decent-sized wedding, Kathy, 100, 125, 130 people. What's the usual cost per plate for on average?
I usually, like, when I give a gift, I assume that they're paying at least $150 a person. So I give at least, depending on the place, right. $300 as the gift. And if it's a little more elaborate,
wow.
then, you know, sure. you kind of are expected to go a little more. But this was... She was asking her guests to pay her $1,500
yes.
a person
yes.
to come to the event. But what she was saying was that this was going to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience for them. Because she was going to put on, like, a Kim Kardashian wedding.
Oh, shut up.
But with their money.
With their money.
With their money.
10 times the cost of an average wedding attendance so that she could put on a Kim Kardashian-style wedding for her.
Right, exactly.
Because it's always been a dream of yours.
Yeah, not your guests. Only 8 people responded.
But and
all of them said F you.
Yeah,
and after that, she went off on them. So there was, in her long-winded, expletive-filled explanation, the former bride accused her friends and family of ruining her marriage and her life.
She called off the marriage.
She said, how could we have our wedding that we dreamed of without proper funding? We'd sacrificed so much and only asked each guest for around $1,500. We talked to a few people who even promised us more to make our dream come true. My maid of honor pledged $5,000 along with her planning services. We tearfully thanked and accepted. My ex's family offered to contribute $3,000.
My ex's?
They're not together anymore. Yeah. So our request for $1,500 for all our guests was not effing out of the ordinary. Like, we made it clear. She actually wrote, like, if you couldn't contribute, you weren't invited to our exclusive wedding. It's a once-in-a-lifetime party, she said.
Now, you have to think about this aspect of it, okay? So they're asking you to invest $1,500 in her wedding. The fact that the wedding didn't come off, they split up, which shows you how solid the relationship was to begin with.
Just to make sure, check the validity of this story, well, Nick, so because it sounds a little outrageous.
It does sound outrageous.
I just did, and the headline on UProx was that everybody's talking about it, but nobody can decide whether or not it's real.
Okay. Yeah.
So there are conflicting stories, but a lot of people are reporting on it, so there is some validity to it.
Okay. What I think she doesn't understand is that most of these people don't want to go to her wedding anyway, so they are not going to pay her $1,500 to go.
You know, and it's so, and whether, again, to whatever, you know, validity or level of, there are, throughout my life, I've been invited to events and weddings where you were asked to, you know, to invest a lot more time. When my wife and I had a destination wedding in Puerto Rico, and right at the top of the invitation was completely understand. Mm-hmm. Feel in no obligation. You know, if you can, great, but feel no obligation to come. We understand. We're going to do it. You know, it's what we did. The priest who married us was in Puerto Rico. He was my wife's uncle. So that was the deal. So we had, like, you know, close family, you know, was there. But a lot of times you ask people to make these investments, you need to know from the get-go, no matter how much they love you, they don't want to go to your wedding. They just don't. They'd prefer to send a gift and move on.
Given your druthers, if it's one you're going to attend and you said you would you rather go to the ceremony itself and say, hey, we got to cut out afterwards, we got something going on, or would you rather skip the ceremony and just go to the reception?
To be honest, if it's somebody that I'm really interested, someone who I care about or someone who's an acquaintance or... And I know there's going to be friends that I know there. I'll do the reception.
Yeah.
But, you know, because it's a nice excuse to socialize, you know, and that's cool. If it's someone I don't really know that well, I would probably do the service and, you know, and forego the reception.
In all cases, the service means virtually nothing to me.
Right.
Because... You've seen one. You've seen them all.
Yeah.
Throw in a communion. Forget it, dude. I like, really? We got to add this extra half hour onto this?
How much better a person can I be?
You know, if it's somebody you're close to, or at least for me, like I'm going to the church.
I very rarely make. I'm trying to think of any unless the service is actually at the reception hall.
Right.
That makes a difference. But you know, you know how much time you're spending with the people from the wedding to the cocktail hour to the reception.
We don't even want to be here.
I don't even like you that much.
Seriously. Listen, my brother's getting married. So, you know, to me that I want to see that. I want to see the church. Yes. I want to, you know, so yeah. That's
important.
In that case, yes. Anyone else? No, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Christopher's getting married.
Did I know that?
Yeah, he got engaged. Yes, I told you. You guys just don't listen.
What were we saying about your priest's hair? I forgot about that, Kathy.
He looked like he had a blowout.
Yeah.
Condoleezza Rice.
A great guy. He collected. He's wonderful. He collected swords, Preston.
He was a huge Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
When we had who was the little guy that you had to lift up on
Kenny
the chair?
Baker?
Yeah. He was like, "Can you give me his autograph?"
Kathy and I had the same priest for a while.
Yeah.
So I have a friend who's in a wedding in a few weeks. And he's very tight with the bride and the groom. They're apparently great people, and he loves them both dearly. However, the bride has turned into a bit of a bridezilla.
Oh my God, that's a nightmare.
It is, and I think you get conflicted on stuff like this because you know this person separate from the wedding, right?
Yeah.
You think about what a great person that she is, but this part of her life has now taken over her life. So the groom. Emailed my friend and was making sure that everybody that was in this wedding has been following the proper protocol and getting the suits and doing everything that they need to do. And he signs it with the phrase, "Master is always watching." And he's referring to his soon-to-be bride.
Wow.
And she is just... She's on him. She's on the groomsmen. She's on the bridesmaids. And
let me ask you this, Nick.
Yeah.
Okay. And in the bridezilla thing. You know, the wedding has turned this person into, and there's a show, Bridezillas. Do we believe this is an anomaly that's in no way connected to the way the person really is? Or is it really actually the code phrase that unleashes the Manchurian candidate?
Great question. And I guess it probably depends on it's case by case. But I think that what part of the problem, or part of the issue for her is that she's succumbing to the amount of pressure that surrounds it.
Yeah.
So all of the family members, all of the friends, and to me, those are the most stressful parts of a wedding is when you start thinking about what Uncle Joey wants and what, you know, all these people that really have no impact on your life, but somebody else says that they are important, that she's dealing with all that nonsense.
I think you're exactly right. It's stressful, and people don't understand that planning something like that can be stressful, mm-hmm. and it also is based on the person. Somebody who is not going to get stressed out in situations like that are not necessarily going to be that. And I've seen it both ways, where somebody who was so sweet and nice and you would never think would be a bridezilla was one of the bitchiest people I have ever seen in my... I actually couldn't believe it. She was a different person.
Wow.
But then I've seen people just get stressed out about it. And yes, maybe you guys would consider her bridezilla. But to me, I'm like, she's just a little stressed planning a huge party. That's
right.
All.
I wonder... All right, so you're talking about the outside influences. But I wonder how much of it really is just the pressure that they put on themselves. Because,
yeah, that's
Kathy,
what I think it is. Yeah.
You think about, when did you start dreaming of your wedding day? Like... Right?
I didn't. I wasn't that person that dreamt of it and had like a scrapbook.
But people
and
do.
All that.
And they want
people
a carriage
do.
That looks
do.
Like a pumpkin.
Yeah, no.
Joined by stallions.
I don't see you as that type.
No.
Yeah.
But I had no idea what I was doing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of girls, little they dream of their wedding day, of the Prince Charming and all of that stuff, and it starts at a really young age.
Well, this woman, Susan, knew exactly what she wanted, and when she didn't get it, because as Kathy said, only eight people RSVP'd. Eight people agreed to pay $1,500.
Yeah.
And then she wrote back, she posted, apparently, on Facebook, "We were effing livid. How was this supposed to happen without a little help from our friends? To make matters worse, my ex's family took back their offer because they had offered $3,000. Suddenly, more people backed out, including the maid of honor who had offered $5,000. My best friend since childhood, my second family. I was so shocked and tearful." Realizing that they would not be able to afford their dream wedding, Susan's fiance suggested tying the knot in Las Vegas, and she quickly shut down the idea, saying, "Am I supposed to get married in the heart of shady gamblers, alcoholics, and the get-rich-fast fallacy?
Yes!
I just wanted to be a Kardashian for a day, and then live my life like normal."
Well, there's your problem.
Well, what if she was, Preston, what if she was Rob Kardashian for a day?
Yeah, did she consider that?
Far more inexpensive. All she'd have to do is wear a black baseball cap, a black shirt, and eat a lot.
And designer socks.
Yeah.
Adding that her maid of honor advised her to stick to the budget as she was asking for way too much from her guests. And then she accused her fiancé of talking behind her back, too. She said, "I overheard him talking in the basement when he called me a stuck-up bitch."
He was by himself, by the way.
Stuck-up bitch.
Stuck-up bitch!
She said, "Anyway, I'm exhausted. I'm bone tired. My heart is not the same. It's stone cold."
Well, my guess is it started pretty stony.
Mm. So still up in the air as to whether or not this is real, but it's interesting.
Let me ask you, you had a wonderful wedding. Your wife planned what? Everything, right?
All of it.
Soup to nuts.
Every bit of it.
But was it ever lost on you? I was amazed that people came to attend and it's such an honor. But you always realize, in a way, it's an imposition to everyone for them to come, you know, and do that. And you try to be respectful of their time and their money and their investment and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
If this is real and it's still up in the air, whatever level, degree of validity this is, it's outlandish to ask that much of people.
The day of the wedding and the party and everything, I didn't think about that, though.
This is
what you have to do.
In the planning stage, you would have. But if they've committed, they were all friends of yours. There are people who cared about you.
When it is your wedding, the most important thing, the biggest piece of advice that I offer is just shut it all down and have a good time. And forget about everything that goes into it and whether or not things go the way they are supposed to go or not. Just
Shut your mouth.
And enjoy the day.
And also realize that that night you will not have sex.
Oh, my God, yes. If you plan to have a party, don't plan on having sex.
See, and I'm a person that would let one little thing ruin my night. And I had to tell myself, you can't do that. Like, you can't let that. Because my dress broke. And I had safety pins all over my dress. And normally I would have been, you know, like, let it ruin. And I'm like, you can't. This is it.
Wait, so you had sex on your wedding night?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Good for you. I was too hammered. No way, man.
I was hammered.
I was hammered for days. I didn't have sex for days.
I remember.
Hangover lasted forever.
I was looking at my wife and we were in the hotel room and we were both like locked in it, trying to attempt a position like, what is this? And then we just said, let's just go to sleep.
I mean, I remember taking out about 50 or 60 bobby pins
from first,
right? Because her hair was so bobby pinned up. And then once I got all that stuff out, it was like, listen, we have to do this. I know. And it wasn't like pressured or whatever, but it was like, this is, we only get one wedding.
The big game's tomorrow.
there was a big game, and they lost to stupid Cowboys the following day.
Oh, it wasn't in the big game?
Well, no. Okay. But anyway.
Did you make her feel so good?
I did not.
No. Okay.
I mean, listen.
I did not make I did her not. Feel
I'm
so
I'm
going to
make
good.
You feel moderately good.
I barely felt good. It was one, and like.
Well, at least you did it.
We did it just to do it. Nobody completed anything.
You did not hesitate with that response at all.
No, I did not.
Yeah.
Well, let me go.
I don't know what I'm doing.
let me go to an interesting scenario. I'm going to go to Joe. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Hey, Gadzooks, buddy. So we were talking about bridezillas, and you had a story to share.
Well, you're talking about how, you know, the person, it's just how they are when they're wedding, but other than that, they're pretty, you know, laid back or something like that.
Yeah, that was my question, yeah.
Yeah, well, me, I'm a very laid-back person, but when it came to the wedding, I started taking over, and everybody in the wedding called me Groomzilla.
Groomzilla.
Groomzilla. Wow.
Yeah, okay. I started taking over everything, getting stressed, and it's not who I am. I'm very, you know, laid-back person, but after the wedding was done, you know, back to normal me, but everybody saw I went crazy. I don't know.
Did you feel paranoid because, you know, you were you getting wind of the fact that people thought you were being too much?
No, I didn't get paranoid. I got, like, mad more than anything. It's like, oh, if you don't like it, good. Go ahead. Don't come to the wedding.
Go to hell. All right.
Wow. Why? What do you think the deal was on that?
I don't know. I don't know why it was like that. It's just when it came to the wedding, it was just, you know, everybody's like, you need to calm down. And, I just turned around like, no, you need to calm down. Leave me alone.
Well, Joe, were people voicing their opposition to your ideas and that's why you were getting all, you know, possessive about it?
I think it was more like that than anything. Like
I just want to be a Jenner, right?
Yeah. I don't know. My wife said that it was my time to be a princess, I guess.
Wow. Let me ask you, Joe, how is your wife? Yes. Was she the opposite of that? Was she loose and cool?
She usually takes over everything and, you know, makes everything good. She doesn't stress. But me, when I start stressing, she's like, all right, babe, whatever you want, you know.
That's awesome. Too. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, Joe, because it says here that you were overriding every decision that your wife made. What decisions are you talking about? Like, were you trying to save money or, you know?
No, I kind of threw the save money thing out the window because I had to have certain food, certain music.
Well, you were a diva.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. I had to have certain food and the certain alcohol that was there had to be, you know, set. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's
stressed a little bit.
It's rare that you hear of Groomzillas, but thanks for your candor.
Yeah, appreciate that it, is man. Rare.
By the way, going to the sex on wedding night, a couple of interesting texts coming in. This one says, passed out on top of my wife on my wedding night when trying to have sex. And then another one says, we tried to have sex on our wedding night, but my damn drunk nephew wouldn't leave the room.
That's a shame.
Wow.
What?
I don't know.
That's a new one.
Listen, we ended up having a party in our suite after the reception was over. We closed the reception, went to the hotel bar, closed the bar, and then we went back to our room, like 20 people in our room.
So it was daylight. Did you make it to daylight?
Filled up the bathtub full of ice. Wow. Went to White Castle. I mean, it was a true Missouri wedding. You know what I mean? That we did.
My dad ended up in just the vest of the tux.
In the lobby.
His underwear and no shoes. Not the lobby, just wandering the hotel looking for people to hang out with.
Are you kidding?
My dad.
I love that guy. I'll say it again.
I have a picture of
it. I love Mr. Romano.
It's amazing.
I will let you
his vest and underwear.
Oh, my God.
He was looking for my friends to hang out with them.
Why couldn't you be more like your dad? No, he's awesome. That's funny. I'm going to go to Rebecca real quick. Hey, Rebecca, good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Rebecca?
Big fan of the show. Calling from Bucks Co.
Oh.
Bucks Co.
Yeah.
I'm getting married
what you wanted?
She was apologetic.
Yeah, I appreciate it. From Bucks Co.
Kathy forgot the reaction because she actually doesn't live in Bucks.
I want him over it.
I'm sorry, Rebecca. Go ahead.
I'm getting married a month from today. And to Nick's point, I think the biggest stress that I have is probably in my mind of what I picture it to be. And probably nobody cares about the silver chargers or the napkins or the flowers. And nobody cares. Nobody cares. And these are the little things that I'm stressing about.
Yeah.
I can tell myself, you know, what the day really represents and not about all the little details.
Rebecca, leading into it, I didn't even know all that stuff you had to make decisions on. I had no idea about the invitations, about the napkins, about all these little bitty things. I'm like, do whatever you want. I don't care. But then again, you can't say I don't care because it's our wedding. And you know
no,
I mean? But my wife did handle all that. And I didn't realize there was all that stuff. Oh, we have to pick up the font on the invitations and the blah 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 blah.
I'll say this you know to everybody planning a wedding right now. Whatever you think you're doing,
People have seen it before.
It's okay.
It's no one cares.
Yeah.
No one. It'll,
oh, it'll, are you sure?
It'll
Did you ever see it'll, a shrimp tree?
It'll make you happy. Uh-huh. It, like, what case to that point? Like with the, like, you know, Kathy had every piece of aquatic life edible. In
yeah,
her,
but she didn't have a shrimp tree. We had a shrimp tree at my wedding.
But the truth of the matter, even that, tree. Yeah, I've seen stuff like that. You know, it's. Unless it's a $50 million wedding, don't worry about it.
Hell, you know, I'm divorced, and I had a great wedding. I loved my wedding. It was an awesome day. It was so much fun. But looking back on it, like, and I don't regret doing it at all.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it that way again, though. Like, it just seems to me like it was a great party, and it was a great day. I'll put it this way. If I get married again, it won't be like I got married the first time around.
Okay. Right.
One last call. It's an invitation of sorts. I'm going to go to Mike. Hey, Mike, good morning.
I just got out of the shower.
You must be squeaky clean. What's up, Mike?
Good morning, guys. It's Mike from Camp Out with the video.
Oh, Mike from Camp Out with the video.
Yeah, the video of him sounding.
Listen, it has been a dream of mine for as long as I can remember to have a gender coming out party.
Okay.
And so I'm going to invite each of you for $1,500 a piece.
That's awesome.
Can't make it.
We'd love to. It. That one I'll do.
Yeah. Casey, it's $2,000 for you. We're gonna have it in my backyard. We'll have a nice video wall, and that's what we're going to do. Of course, we don't have any content to show on the video wall. So anybody else, any other listeners that are interested, $1,500 a head, you can come and be recorded 3 days before the party just so that the six of us can watch it.
It seems enough. Reasonable. All right. Yes, for $1,500 a head.
Send us the invitations, please. Good Love to hear it. From you, yeah. Mike. All right.
I think that's Mike Shin. Is that Mike Shin from IMS?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. I didn't know who it was at first.
Thank you, Mike. All right. Well, anyhow, $1,500 this woman was expecting.
Yes.
I mean, expecting people to line up and have to turn people away is what it seems like from her language that she used in her upset state.
The response, she was expecting a Kardashian-style wedding, mm-hmm. and that would have required a lot of loot.
Mm-mm. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. We have several things going on this morning. Chip Chantry is going to be here. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight, recording an album live on Fox Good Day. We'll do that in a moment. Secret text word, tickets to the Outlaw Music Festival. Text word secret to 39333. We'll see if you win in a little bit. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Birthday Boy. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Click Local Shots at WMMR.com to see and hear more. Birthday Boy, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
It is 7:56, and we're going to go live on Fox Good Day in less than 60 seconds. And in that time, I will let you know that we're going to have Chip Chantry on the program, a comedian. He's going to be performing at Helium Comedy Club tonight and recording an album, by the way. And we're going to have a guy named Doug, and he's been known as Paul Flart as of lately.
Yes.
A security guard who decided to do a film project, and that was him farting over 6 months. Little bit at a time, no audio, no dialogue, and he got fired for doing that. And we're going to get his story a little later on. It went viral, but he's going to be calling. He goes
could
by,
be inspiring.
Goes by Paul Flart. Here we go on Fox.
All right. Hey, Preston. See, we're talking about people who are dating now. Welcome to Good Day Philadelphia, of course. So I would think if you wanted to make sure you got a second, third, fourth, fifth date and maybe lead to marriage, you want that first date to be special, to stand out, not do the regular stuff.
Something that cuts through the noise and puts you above the rest of the pack.
Yes.
All right.
Well, I was wrong.
Really?
Because the survey says, listen to this. They ranked three places that you should take the first date. And in third place was getting drinks in a bar, Preston.
Wow.
The standard.
Third?
Standard.
Yeah.
Any idiot can do that.
As a date, though, I mean, that's pretty generic, right?
Yes.
So, and I'm surprised that that's number three on the list.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think about number two? This one, I like this one. It's taking a romantic walk, like maybe around, you know, the drives. That can
I
be really
like
nice.
That too. At least you talk a little bit more, and there's not so much noise.
Yeah,
right,
but Steve? But if you're asking someone on a date, hey, let's just go for a walk.
Let's go for a walk on a lonely rural road.
No.
I can listen. Anything that allows you to talk. I think the worst first date is a movie because you don't get to talk.
Yep. Yeah,
I think the most fun. I had a troika that I would go to. We would on a first date. I'd spend the evening with the girl I liked chasing tow trucks.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure. We would also get sweetheart MRIs.
Oh.
Okay. Mm. Right. You know, it's really good. And then go to a counseling session.
Oh.
I think
sure.
That's that to me. Right, Preston?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It's unique.
I would tendency to do the high colonic.
Honestly, it gives you something to talk about.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
And then, what was your real first date that left to your bride?
I took my wife to a hockey game. We went to see the St. Louis Blues. I lived in St. Louis at that time. So,
I think that's a good one.
We had a great time. And she's not really even that big of a hockey fan, but it was an event, and we had a great time. What about you, Steve?
Our first date, believe it or not, was we went whale watching.
Seriously?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Now, that's
so it was cute. Horrible. We were in Arizona at the time. No. No, it was great. We really had it. It was a fun time. So, yeah.
Oh, that's a true story. Whale watching. I'll be darned.
Yeah.
I never knew that about
you. Check out that blowhole.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Yes, Kathy, what did you do?
Oh, Outback Steakhouse.
Whoa.
Seriously?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, no, but that's, Kathy, number one on the list is going out to dinner. So ding, ding, ding. Yep.
But you know, Karen, I think the part of the deal is you have to pick the cuisine. It's a critical error if you go eat Italian because there are sauces and things involved that can be difficult. You need food that is non-splashy, slurpy, and stainy.
Like a big porterhouse steak, like Kathy.
Kathy had a big steak onion. And then a blooming onion.
No, you know, it was like the only nice restaurant in that area, like nicer than, because we were in college. So, you know, instead of just going to like the pizza place down the street, it was go to Outback.
Okay. That was a
Do
real.
Do you remember what he ordered?
No, I don't remember.
Yeah.
And they really don't even talk to this day.
That's interesting.
It worked out perfectly.
Yeah, icy and chilly. It's what exactly she hoped for.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Good to see you guys. Take care. I mean, generally, you don't have marriage in mind on the first date. It's the they just want to get in their pants thing, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much. We did after the whale watching.
But very good.
But I knew, like, I had worked in proximity to her, so she was actually an intern at the WDRE in New York. The station I was at. So we had gone out for lunch and stuff like that.
And at that time, at my age, when we met, and going to a hockey game was like a big deal.
Yes.
You know, it was like, I mean, number one, you know, it's not cheap.
Yeah.
Once you get past all the, you know, the tickets and parking and all that stuff. And it's a big event. And I was a really huge Blues fan. And I was just like, oh, this is probably the best thing I could do. You know, this is something I love, and it's a big deal, and let's go. And
yeah.
It ended up working out. So.
I knew from the get-go. I knew pretty quickly, you know, Claire was the one, you know. So it was just like, okay, let's. It was easier to have fun with someone you just knew. It was firing on all cylinders.
No, I was ready to fall in love, definitely.
So, yeah.
It was all good, man.
I love you.
I love you. I love her. I love you. I love hockey, too. I like ice and pucks. All right. You know what we didn't do? We didn't do traffic. So
I love traffic.
Let's do that now.
Thank you, guys.
Kathy, what's going on this morning?
Schuylkill westbound, jams patching up to South Street, the Boulevard, out to Gladwin. Eastbound side backing up 202 into Conshohocken City to South Street. 95 southbound, jams Cotman through to Girard on the northbound side. 452 to the Commodore Barry Bridge Airport to Broad Street. On the Vine Expressway, westbound, you're slow near the Ben Franklin Parkway. 422 eastbound, slowing Limerick to 23, Pennsylvania Turnpike. We've got some volume building near Willow Grove. And then on the Blue Route, you can expect delays on the northbound side from Media to Route 1, southbound, Mid-County Tolls to the Schuylkill, and then Media to McDade. In New Jersey, 42 freeway northbound jams the Black Horse Pike to 295, 55 northbound heavy from Deptford to the 42 freeway, and the Ben Franklin Bridge westbound jams the toll plaza to 8th and Vine back to Woodhaven Road for 1 second westbound right at Route 1, the Boulevard. There is an accident there. blocking the left lane and it's causing delays. This traffic report brought to you by Booking.com. From hotels and resorts to unique vacation rentals, Booking.com has the perfect place for you for your next vacation. Visit Booking.com. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, let's take a trip into the world of the bizarre.
Bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Peeling lucky. Grab a large, larger, extra large Dunkin' coffee for a chance to win great prizes. No purchase necessary. 13 plus ends October 15th or while supplies last. For game piece and official rules, you can visit sippeelwin.com. All right, this is wild, Steve. You told me about this story yesterday. A woman, barefoot and wearing what could be handcuffs, repeatedly rang doorbells at a number of Texas homes before vanishing into the night.
Yeah.
Now police are trying to identify her and have released surveillance footage of her approaching a home. The grainy video captured around 3:20 a.m. on Friday shows a woman walking up to a house and ringing the doorbell. She's wearing a T-shirt and appears to have some sort of shackle hanging from her right wrist.
That's weird.
Yeah, and apparently to the one resident, they said, we were dead asleep in our beds. My husband and I were woken up by the doorbell ringing. It rang probably 20 to 30 times. He walked outside. No one was in sight. And it's like she disappeared into thin air. Police are investigating the suspicious incident. Authorities have reviewed various images and have canvassed the neighborhood for evidence. Officers have inspected houses and conducted interviews with people who live and work in the area. And they think that the woman could be a crime victim who is seeking help. But she also could be involved in some kind of a scheme. So they're asking residents to exercise caution.
Whoa. Yeah, really yeah. Strange.
Yeah. So what would be horrible if she was some kind of a kidnap victim, managed to get away, and then gets caught again.
Yeah,
so,
that's what actually went through my mind.
Yeah. A man was arrested on a misdemeanor charge after allegations involving an orange Speedo. Police in Vero Beach encountered Joseph Pierre after being sent to Humiston Park. A man in an orange Speedo reportedly was letting it all hang out near the showers. A lifeguard said that he got a complaint from a beachgoer that a person was exposing himself to her and her children on the beach.
Jeez.
Police spoke to the man who was seated facing the shower. Now, they said the man sported an orange Speedo bikini, the back of which was below his hips, exposing his butt. The suspect, they said, was sitting in front of an open water spigot. He was holding the front of his swimsuit open, allowing the water into his genital area.
Oh, so
he's just hanging below the spigot, letting it run. Language in the affidavit suggested he wasn't simply cleansing out the sand. Police identified the man as Pierre. He denied the allegations of exposing himself, and he was taken to jail on a disorderly conduct charge. A man lambasted as the Dine and Dash dater after being accused of meeting women at restaurants across the Los Angeles area, only to leave them with the bill, pleaded not guilty to charges of theft and extortion on Monday. Paul Guadalupe Gonzalez allegedly connected with a string of women through dating apps and websites, invited them out to dinner between May 2016 and this April with the intent of using them as a meal ticket.
How many times did he do it?
He did it several times.
He
arranged dates at restaurants in Pasadena, Long Beach, Burbank, and Los Angeles, where he ordered and consumed food and drinks, and then he would leave before
what
the bill.
What a lose. Now, yeah. If you excuse me, I'm just going to go powder my nose.
Eight women told prosecutors that they had footed the bill, one of them under the belief that Gonzalez would pay her back, and at least twice the restaurant paid its own check, making those businesses victims in the criminal complaint. In total, Gonzalez is accused of defrauding the women of more than $950. He's also charged with receiving hair salon services, then leaving before paying. Investigators obtained an arrest warrant for Gonzalez on July 3rd. An inmate record shows that he was taken into custody this past Saturday. He was subsequently charged with 7 counts of extortion, 2 counts of attempted extortion, and 1 count of grand theft, all felonies.
Well, if this is a picture of him, he's a fairly good-looking guy.
Yeah,
so,
he used it.
Yeah.
Impatience apparently drove a man waiting for a passing freight train at a Salt Lake City railroad crossing to a rash decision Saturday evening.
Oh, boy.
The officer said that it looks like he just squatted down and tried to roll underneath it like in the movies or something. A video of the incident shot by a nearby railroad camera shows a man believed to be in his 30s trying to time his move to roll between the wheels of the 15-mile-an-hour train. But he was caught up in the train's wheels and it killed him, of course.
Why? You know, what is so pressing?
Yeah. The train operator realized something had happened and stopped the train. The man was not carrying identification, and police are trying to identify
him. I didn't turn it right.
Based on their review of the video, police did not suspect suicide. He looks like he was just trying to get from one side to the other.
And train cars are heavy.
And became impatient, and it killed him, man. That is messed up. All right, a Florida man was arrested Sunday night after deputies say that he waved a rifle at some pool goers because he thought their music was just a little too loud.
Florida man, Florida man.
Robert Rodriguez says that he never expected to stare down a gun, especially at a pool party. He said, I just froze. I honestly froze. According to the sheriff's office, it was around 8 p.m., so not ridiculously late.
Yes, that's fine.
When Richard J. Savage came out of his apartment in the columns at Cypress Point Apartment Complex, upset about the noise at the community pool.
Richard.
That's where Rodriguez said that he was playing music from his truck for his family and coworkers. He said, probably about 5 minutes into it, my sister screams out, and I just turn around, and the guy was standing there with a weapon pointed directly at me. Deputies say Savage was carrying a rifle, and at one point they say he racked the slide and pointed it at the group, demanding they shut it down before he headed back inside. 10-year-old Kalani Diaz was at the party, and she couldn't believe what was happening. The frightened partygoers...
It's Ann Murray!
...called deputies who say Savage admitted pointing the rifle at the group because they wouldn't turn down the music.
Nice damn metal music.
Yeah, Savage was charged with aggravated assault and child abuse.
But you look at the picture, he really looks like the epitome of the edgy loner.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
Look at him. Yeah.
Damn music's too loud. Agreed. Got some killing to do.
And that is what I have for you in this morning's Bizarre File. We're going to take a break. Not before I remind you about the secret text word today. It's a chance for you to win some tickets to the Outlaw Music Festival. And that is coming up at the BB&T Pavilion on Saturday, September 15th. And Willie Nelson and family, Van Morrison, Tedeschi Trucks Band.
Wow.
Greenski Bluegrass and a bunch of acts are playing. So tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. And if you text the word secret to 39333, we'll have two opportunities to win because we'll have to have you call in and identify the word that we send back to you, or we just might randomly choose your text as a winner. So go ahead and do that. Secret to 39333. We'll be back in just a moment.
New, old, and everything in between. MMR rocks.
Observation. Something that Steve noticed, believe it or not.
Yes.
He's the sub-noticer.
I'm the sub-noticer.
No.
BSN.
Two high-profile funerals this week. You have Senator McCain, who passed away, and then the ceremonies for Aretha Franklin have been taking place. And they're over multiple days because Aretha and Senator McCain lying in state doing that, and then tributes, and then eventually the actual funeral ceremonies. But there were pictures of Aretha Franklin's lying in state moments that were taking place, and it shows, it's not a full-on picture of her face and everything. It's kind of from a distance, but you can see her.
Yeah.
It's from the top of her head towards her feet. But I noticed this as well, Steve, something very interesting. Her legs were crossed at the ankles. Her feet are crossed. See that, Kathy?
Yeah, but why do you...
And she's also wearing shoes. What's that?
That's what I was wondering. Why is that a thing? Is that simply a request? Is it because she's elevated and she has a dress on?
And usually the bottom half is covered, right?
I don't think I've ever been to an open casket funeral where you see the
entire whole body.
Yeah. It's usually just the upper torso. Huh.
So I wonder if it, and starting from the ground up, is it because because it's a fully open casket? Is that why they cross the legs? Is it just simply a last-minute decision?
Or maybe she liked her legs
crossed
and was a very relaxed person like that, and they wanted to do that. Well, I don't know.
But I think that there's a reason why they cover the bottom half, like during embalming and things like that. Like, I think that there's a reason for it. So what did they do that hers are able to be exposed?
I'm not sure. I've always heard that the dead are buried without shoes on. I'm sure you can do either or.
Yeah.
But I had understood, take thy shoes from thy feet. Or stand on holy ground.
Take this ribbon from my hair.
Right. Snatch this penny from my hand.
Yeah, right.
This pebble.
You're now
from
a Shaolin monk.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff. No, it's I'm sort of fascinated with this. I know there are all sorts of things that we just never ask about or encounter in a body preparation process. Mm. Or, you know, we know the old things like pennies on the eyes to keep the lids from coming up. But that very thing about the shoes,
yeah.
What is that predicated on? Is that just simply, you know, is it that, in fact, what you said? Is
that's
that
what I thought you would be walking in the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
You want your body off. Won't be, but it's a...
But I'm sure God has mats down.
Yeah. it's a symbolic thing. Or he asks you to take your shoes off at the
take
door.
Yeah, come on.
I mean,
man.
That's courteous.
I wonder if it has anything to do with Aretha's legacy as a diva.
You know, fashionista.
Fashionista and a diva. Right. Yeah, just kind of being a bit of a badass and be like, you know what? I'm wearing high heels into heaven, and this is how I'm doing it because I'm the queen, you know?
Yeah. That's a good High Heels in Heaven.
Right.
That's a good band name
that
or
is.
Song name, isn't it, though?
Yeah, it's a country song.
You know they got a hell of a band.
Right. Good question. Has there been any chit-chat about it online? I haven't really noticed. I didn't go looking for it.
I guess you noticed it as well. It's just an emplacement. For example, who makes the call on, I've seen arms to the side, I've seen arms across the chest.
Yeah, I've seen the old thing was crossed up here because they needed to fit them into the tiny coffins
right,
as well.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, across the lap or something.
Right.
Like
is that like a checklist crossed. That you go, you know?
When you're
got to be.
That's what I'm wondering.
Where do you want their hands?
Yep.
I mean, as far as I can remember, there was no checklist.
Well, you guys had a closed.
Nope.
Oh, well, at the funeral services.
You guys got there.
To.
You got there late. Okay. We had. No, because they closed the casket for the actual funeral, but, you know, we had the viewing beforehand, and that was open, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Of those things, you know, and I've been to my share, sadly, you know, of those deals. The thing that people always invariably say is, you know, you'll hear people utter, he looks so natural, or she looks so... No, no one looks natural.
She looks
dead.
Just like herself.
Yeah, right, yeah. Nah.
It looks like her. Well, I think because a lot of times it doesn't look like the person.
Right,
so when,
right.
You know, when they got it right...
You're saying to convince yourself? Yeah.
No, but when they got it right,
right.
And it resembles them, you're like, oh, good, thank
yeah,
God.
Yeah, that's like 60% there.
They look so peaceful.
Somebody had texted in, I don't know if this is true or not, but it said the news reported she was wearing those shoes as a tribute to her sorority.
Hmm. Really?
So I do not know for sure if that's the case or not.
What dictates a case you talked about having that half the casket closed from the waist down? And I was wondering if it's like a thing, Preston, that news anchors do. Well, sometimes they'll wear jeans below the desk.
Well, somebody's texting and said they've never been to a funeral where it's only been half the body covered. It's always been fully open. So I've never had one like that. I guess it's whatever you want, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what the reasoning is behind the crossed legs at her funeral in particular.
And so, does that end up being a case where I've never been in all the times when my mom passed away, I don't remember a checklist of how do you want the body positioned?
Yeah, right.
But I think that would be something to begin, you know.
Maybe if you have something in mind, you can certainly tell them. So
Are they both being buried? Not on the same day, right?
No, but services are happening... I mean, for her right now, and I don't have the list of when it's all taking place, unfortunately.
Do you know what? Senator John McCain's mother is 106 years old.
Yeah,
we were talking about that. Survived by his mother.
Mm-hmm. And she is 106 and outlived her.
Yeah,
he was 81.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
It's pretty awesome it's not never awesome to see your children die.
Right, right, right.
But that she's had that long of a life.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about death.
Let's talk about life and the living and the loving of life.
And that's what we're going to do. Researchers from the University of Helsinki and the Just Sayin' Institute looked into data from over 1,200 middle-aged male executives, and they began collecting data between 1974 and 75. The men were observed over the next 40 years, and they found that men who took 3 weeks or less of annual work leave were 37% more likely to die during the course of the study compared to those who took off more than 3 weeks each year. Vacation makes you live longer.
You've got to recharge your batteries.
Yes.
You do have to, whether you think you die. Listen, I can be a workaholic. We all have the potential to do that. But if you don't force yourself to take time off, you've got to, or you're going to drop dead.
Yeah, they also found that those who did not...
And then you'll have to figure out how you want your feet positioned and your arms folded.
They found that those who did not take regular vacations tended to work longer hours and get less sleep, both which have a severe negative impact on health. Let's not talk about life. let's talk about death for
the
a moment.
The final step in life.
Because we have Brett, who's a funeral director, on the line. And I didn't, right as I was switching gears, the call came in. So we'll go to Brett here real quick. Hey, Brett, good morning.
Good morning. S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y.
Palsy.
Wow.
Oh, been a long time.
It's a good one.
Very good, Brett. Okay, so
I've been holding on to that for months.
Well, you did it.
You got through.
All right, so about Aretha's feet crossed, legs crossed, whatever it may be. What can you tell us?
Well, so a few comments. As far as clothing goes, when we speak to the families that we serve, we tell families to bring in everything. So for a man, that might be a full suit, shirt, tie, underwear, socks, shoes, etc. For a woman, typically a dress or a pants-type suit, blouse.
Right.
But always everything, because that's how you dressed in life, typically, and that's how you should go out. It's the right thing to do.
Right.
It's a moral thing. It's an ethical thing. It's dignified.
So with the bearing and the removal of the shoes, are most bodies buried with the shoes off?
No,
on. Okay. So it has nothing to do with what you guys are doing or what happens to the body. Like, I had heard that that's why the feet are sometimes covered.
You are typically wearing an entire outfit.
Okay.
Depending on the circumstances and your condition when you pass, will kind of dictate how we do what we do and what we need to do.
Okay.
And while I didn't see her legs crossed, it could have been something that the family wanted, but it could have also been something with her condition where
to hide
that
something.
Was the only thing that, well, it might have been the only way that worked.
Could position.
Got you.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, there are, you know, people that, and with the clothes, there are people that at the end of their life may lose a whole lot of weight.
It's true.
You know, or have unfortunately, an accident of some type, and it physically affects them, you know?
Absolutely. And there's times when you see the body head to toe, and then there's times when you only see half. For me, for example, my funeral home is primarily of the Jewish faith. So most of the caskets that we use are what we call half couch. So you actually only have the ability to see half of the body.
All right. Okay.
But in more Gentile funeral homes, non-Jewish funerals, they're typically what we call full couch, where they open fully.
Full frontal.
Depending on the circumstances, sometimes you will see the whole body, and sometimes it's just half and they're covered with some sort of blanket or covering.
Speaking of full frontal, Steve, let me ask Brett. Brett, have you ever buried someone naked and had a viewing of a naked body?
Never.
Okay. I was just curious if somebody was maybe a lifelong nudist and that's the way they wanted to go, you know?
You would honor someone's wishes. Sure. If someone were to ask you to do that, you would oblige, yes?
That's touchy.
Probably not.
But I mean, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, probably not.
How about a skin-colored leotard?
that might be possible.
I've
seen things like track suits, sports outfits, sweatsuits.
All right.
Doctor's gear. I've seen a couple of profane items, but
like what profane?
There was a woman, a family that we served once, and the woman was wearing a necklace, and she was wearing it out to family's request, and it was diamonds, and it just said FUCK.
Wow!
Yeah.
All righty then.
Okie dokie.
There you go. Well, you've seen it all. You've done it all. You've buried it all.
Thanks, Brett. We appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. See you later. All right. So Marissa found this story. It said that Aretha's legs were said to have been crossed at the ankles to remember someone who was comfortable with being a strong woman.
Oh.
So it was a statement of sorts.
I think they should put a little card there that says that.
She also wore scarlet lipstick and ruby high heels. And was dressed in red, which was symbolic of her membership in the Delta Sigma Theta sorority.
How cool!
Which fights for the rights of African American women.
So, yeah,
that was all.
When I pass, symbolic. I want Zeta Eta Pi.
Zeta Eta Pi.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to be dressed in pink?
Yes, absolutely.
I love it.
Got it.
With a bitch box under my head.
Her funeral is Friday at 10 a.m. in Detroit. And this is great.
100 pink Cadillacs are expected to line up outside of the church to pay homage for the song Freeway of Love.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm in a pink Cadillac. But Preston, I think the time now is to talk about life and the living and the loving of life.
Let's talk about life for a moment.
We were at the Just Saying Institute when we last.
We were. And the Just Saying Institute, you know, having sex is part of living life.
It's the living and the loving of life.
It is. But unfortunately, and it's been reported not only here, but in the UK as well, but STDs are at record rates at this point.
I believe it.
Yes. And there's a few speculations as to why that may be the case.
Just saying.
This is from the Just Saying Institute. They said that dating apps are partly to blame for the rise in sexually transmitted infections, at least in the UK.
I think I know why that would be the case, if I may conjecture.
Certainly.
So it is more conducive to the one-night stand.
Yes, exactly. One Health Board has seen 5 times as many cases in the past 4 months compared with the same period of last year. 5 times. And this is, they say that also the warm weather may help cause steep increase in syphilis, because people are more sexually active when it's warm and sunny out. since April, there have been 56 in this particular area. This was in, like I said, in the UK, was 16 in the past 2 weeks alone. Most have been men, but several women also tested positive. Doctors suspect it's down to more people using dating apps such as Tinder and Bumble to meet for unprotected sex.
Well, as the saying goes, swipe right, it's all right. Swipe left, gonorrhea.
That's how it goes. Okay. Users often delete partners' profiles afterwards, preventing them from warning if they are later diagnosed with an infection. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention in the U.S. reports that STDs are at a record high for the 4th year in a row. So it's been climbing regularly here in the U.S. Data shows nearly 2.3 million cases of chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis were diagnosed in the U.S. in 2017.
Well, that's the mighty troika.
2.3 million.
Well, also, you know where it's big?
Wow.
Retirement homes.
Yeah, yeah. So this is the most recently last year. It's 200,000 more cases than were diagnosed the year before.
I love it here at Hidden Hills. I get to play bocce. We have regular dances and socials, and I have a raging case of syphilis.
Chlamydia is by far the most common STD.
Wow.
With more than 1.7 million cases diagnosed last year. But syphilis diagnoses have risen 76% since 2013.
Gotta try harder.
I really don't know what those are.
At number one, it's chlamydia.
Yes, I agree. So syphilis, I associate with rotting. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, syphilis. Al Capone had syphilis and went and started to go nuts. I always
and gonorrhea. I associate with dripping.
Dripping.
Oh, yes.
So gonorrhea, I've heard called drippy D.
Drippy D. Okay.
Oh, really?
Which is also a hip hop act. Ladies and everybody's Drippy D.
And the Lil Drippy D.
Lil Drippy D.
which STDs are easily treated with like penicillin and stuff like that? Because some of them you can.
Syphilis is, I believe.
Is it? Okay, yeah. Because you would hear stories about people just going to the doctor and.
Yeah.
Avoid the clap.
I want to say gonorrhea, but I'm not 100% sure, Nick, that these are treatable. The one that you get and sticks with you, from what I understand, is. Herpes,
okay,
which is not unlike, same thing with cold sores.
Right.
Once you get them, you're going to get them occasionally for the rest of your life.
You never saw Wolf of Wall Street, right?
No.
There's a scene where it's just a sexual bacchanal, and all of a sudden they're all out banging the same person, and then they're all out banging other people, but they just go to the doctor, they bring in a clinic, and they get
their shots.
Yeah, they get their shots, and it just sort of becomes a part of this open sexual lifestyle.
Herpes is the one that stays with you.
Yeah, but it's like chicken pox
and chicken pot pie
and sore cold sores.
Yes.
So here we go. This is the symptoms of syphilis: non-itchy skin rash, small skin growths in the genital area, flu-like symptoms such as tiredness, headaches, joint pains, and fever.
Okay. Didn't know that.
Swollen lymph glands.
Yeah.
Weight loss and hair loss.
Hmm. And is this?
I guess I have syphilis.
So is this? Treatable? You treat it and then it's gone?
Look up and see if it says syphilis symptoms and treatment. If you could click on that, that'd be great.
Like, yeah. I always think of a sexually transmitted disease as it never goes away, and that may be my mom's fault because she just put that in my head.
Yes, I'm sure.
You know what I mean?
Okay, so here's the fast facts.
How about the treatment?
Yeah.
We're looking for treatment.
Where's Dr. Mike when you need him?
Right? So it's treatment. According to Kathy's mother, never have sex.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Oh,
it says one of the treatments, Preston, is a stroke.
Oh, really? Oh,
wait, that's one of the symptoms.
No, that's one of the...
There it is.
Oh, there you go. Preston, right there.
Let me see here. How is it treated? Caught early. It can be cured with antibiotics. A single dose of penicillin is very effective in the early stages and fairly effective in later stages. If you are allergic to penicillin, you will probably be given azithromycin. What's that, Casey?
Azithromycin.
Azithromycin or doxycycline, which I would have to take because I'm allergic to penicillin. Regardless of the treatment, you'll need to have regular blood tests for at least a year after treatment. So it's curable, you know, it looks like. So, and I, from what I understand, gonorrhea is... Now, chlamydia, I don't know anything about. Ain't got no business knowing nothing about no chlamydia.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
So according to the director of CDC's division of...
Ain't nobody got time for that.
STD prevention, they say more comprehensive community education and outreach, coupled with better screening and treatment practices from doctors and testing for STDs using more rigorous methods than simple urine tests, may help get STD rates under control.
And they also say, just as a general word of caution, stay away from toothless hookers.
Yeah, maybe. But I guess, and... You know, with that, with these stats and with the availability of social media and these dating apps,
yeah.
I got to imagine that we as Americans as a whole are having more sex than ever. That's just a guess.
I wonder if that's the case.
But I don't think it starts as young as it used to.
I also think because of the effectiveness of birth control that condoms are probably not being used as much.
Maybe.
And again, this is all speculation.
You still need to do that, though. Still got to wrap that rascal. It's advice.
Keep
avoid the clap, Jimmy.
Avoid
Dugan.
The clap. Here we go. Exactly.
Wow. Let's see. This person says, "Unfortunately, I've had chlamydia, and it's curable. They just give you one pill, and it's gone."
What are the symptoms of chlamydia? I know that women will develop thick, lush facial beards.
Yeah. Let me see here. I didn't even hear what you said. I'm sorry. I didn't agree with you at all.
No. Women develop thick beards.
I was reading text messages that are coming. It says all three are very treatable and curable with antibiotics.
Right.
They're all bacterial infections.
Chlamydia.
Where's Dr. Mike? Somebody says so. Yeah. So if you have symptoms, people may experience, is this chlamydia?
Chlamydia.
That's what this is?
Yep. Can have no symptoms.
Pain in the eyes, lower abdomen, pelvis, testicles, or vagina.
Yeah.
Pain can occur during sexual activity or during urination or bleeding. Eye discharge or spotting.
What
as
the
well.
Hell? How are your eyes involved?
An eye spotting?
It's disgusting.
Wow.
Yeah, this is how little I know. Chlamydia, to me, just sounded like something that just women get. Do you know what I mean? Like
it just sounded like that.
Chlamydia sounds
clam.
It's an A at the end.
What's that? It's an A at the
right?
end.
Like,
yeah,
so anything it's, that ends in an A
it's
is
feminine.
Yeah,
it's
feminine.
Chlamydio.
Yeah,
right.
Is what.
Oh, you have chlamydia.
Chlamydia.
Oh.
Anaconda.
Mm-hmm.
Anacondo.
All right. Anyhow, keep in mind that you still in this day and age in the 1980s we went through a huge scare. With AIDS becoming in the vernacular and commonplace, there was heightened awareness of safe sex, and it's since gone away to the extent that it was, and now this is a reason to.
There are many issues with all of this that can impact your life for years to come, if not ever. So it's wise, and just general caution is always advised.
And if you are a philanderer,
yes,
it can obviously destroy your
shame
life
on you
in many ways. And I saw this other study from the Just Saying Institute that cheating husbands have revealed exactly what they look for in a potential mistress.
What they look for in a potential mistress. What lures them away?
Correct.
From their happy marriage or their happy relationship.
Yeah, so these are traits in
women
that they can point out. So the most important traits to a cheating man are a curvy figure, long hair, and a woman who takes care of her appearance. It's Kathy Romano, ladies and gentlemen.
I thought you were were
you
gonna say
hussy?
More of like a personality where they wouldn't get attached and it wouldn't become a relationship. I didn't know you were going to talk about appearance.
I would tell you this, based on this, Preston. I think if you're going to have an affair, you're probably going to have someone who's a little bit dissimilar from what you currently have.
Maybe.
You know, you're Whitman sampling it in a way.
I think, Kathy, this might be under the guise of the understanding that she's okay
with it,
with being a mistress. Okay. Yeah. So according to a survey by extramarital dating website Victoria Milan and the Just Sayin' Institute, cheating men are often attracted to a curvier physique when choosing a partner for an affair. Of the 5,000 men who took part in the research, over 40% that this was their preference, while 35.2% wanted someone slim.
Uh-huh.
So kind of little meat on the bones, and that's what the men are looking for. Almost 30% like their mistresses to keep fit, and a similar number said that they were scouting for a woman who's elegant and stylish.
Like Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah.
That's the one you want to
All right. Sure. Yeah, I'm kind of looking for a chick like Audrey Hepburn, specifically in the film Roman Holiday with Gregory Peck.
Long hair has become more important to male adulterers alongside taller ladies with beautiful eyes who are petite.
Uh-huh.
This is all
wait,
over
wait,
the
wait,
place.
Tall ladies who are petite?
Yeah. I want a tall, diminutive woman who's very curvy in an anemic way. I would like her to be well-read and yet dumb.
This is basically everyone.
Yeah.
Ten toes, 10 fingers on one hand.
Yeah.
No, I think it's percentages, Nick. I think 30, whatever this one up here says 30.6%.
Yeah.
Said tall, and then 26.7 said petite.
No, I thought Preston said tall women who are petite.
Well, it says long hair has become more important to male adulterers alongside taller ladies with beautiful eyes who are petite.
Well, here's the deal. On the tall women, the long hair allows you something to pull up so you can climb them.
Right. It's just... one of the things to say, this is, she's got to have a vagina.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah,
you're basically looking for, as they say, strange.
Mm-hmm.
Willing vagina.
But they did say that they need to have some kind of a rapport with the person that they shack up
they
with.
Do? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. It can't just be a dead body.
They'd like a mistress with a sense of humor.
You know, this is all, this is, I think what it is it's... And again, and as things operate in the Just Sayin' Institute,
yep.
This is all nuanced. There are many issues at work here that involve why someone seeks someone outside of their relationship.
67.6% said that a funny woman turns them on.
Yes.
More than 50%.
Like Kathy Griffin.
More than 50% called an adventurous spirit important.
Like Amelia Earhart.
Right.
Yes.
It's one of the most adventurous women
absolutely.
That ever lived. And the same number rated kindness.
Mother Teresa.
Yeah. Shame they clearly aren't demonstrating the quality when it comes to their wives, though. Youth was a notable attribute.
Right.
For 45% of men.
Damn it.
Well,
no 40-year-olds.
No, but Kathy, you're sitting right in the hussies. You've got your curvy, you've got long hair.
And I'm friggin' old.
You're funny. On the cougar element.
She takes care of herself and her appearance.
No, you are solidly in MILF porn territory.
You're tall but petite.
Time.
Oh, wait. Oh, you're in the neighborhood?
Hey.
And you mow lawns? It looks so hot out there. Why don't you come in for some lemonade?
Oh, wait, I don't have lemonade.
It doesn't matter. I wasn't going to give it to you anyway. You might spill it on the carpet.
Take your shoes off, please.
Ew. So it says here that intelligence...
I don't have any condoms, but I can empty out a Hot Pocket.
Well...
I don't know. Those things leak. They do.
How would you know?
By the way, 40% said they were looking for reliability and romance.
Reliability. I need a mistress I can rely on.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Where were you?
Intelligence.
You were supposed to bring me that tire jack.
Intelligence was only considered important by a third of those surveyed. And an impulsive woman ranked at 22.5%.
I guarantee you what they're looking for what they perceive as not being present in their current relationship. Though, if they were to sort of discuss these things with their current, with their wife or girlfriend, they might find that there is a potential there for them.
Kathy, only around 5% mentioned maturity. So
there we go.
So whatever.
Oh, my God. I just turned 40.
You know. Yeah, ma'am.
What did you call me? You little bastard.
But you're lovely.
You're lovely. Dr. Mike's on the phone.
Yeah.
I know we got past the STDs, but he was indeed listening.
They always come back.
Probably a busy, but ladies and gentlemen, from Fox 29 and Penn Medicine, Dr. Mike Sirigliano is on the show. Hey, man.
You're talking STDs? You're talking my language.
Yeah, I know. We were curious of the curability of chlamydia, syphilis, and gonorrhea, because we know that herpes is sticks around, but those three we were curious about curing.
Oh, well, they're treatable, certainly, and the issue is some places sometimes they can be resistant to certain antibiotics. So you just have to be aware of that. But there are treatments available. It's not like a viral situation like HIV, where we have really good treatments now that it doesn't really cure it. It keeps it in check.
Okay.
But you know, the big issue here is one, if you're going to dally, you've got to protect yourself, because not only are you at risk, and this has nothing to do with morality or anything, it's a logistics problem. All right, so in 25 years of practice, this is what I have seen about a zillion times. You know, somebody's on a business trip, they get a few drinks in them, they have an encounter, they are unprotected, and then they get something. Oh, and by the way, they happen to be married. Mm. Now, here's where the rub comes in. If you then come home and you have sex with your wife or your husband and you have caught something, then you are exposing them. Now, you made a decision to put yourself at risk, but your spouse has not.
Yes.
So there's the sticky wicket, if you will.
This is all appropriate code, by the way.
Well, yeah. It's a problem.
Yes.
Because if you're a sociopath, you could care less.
Right.
But that's the problem. So if you're going to do it, which, you know, I have the phrase, if you have someone you don't like or you have an enemy, don't wish them ill, wish them a girlfriend, because it will bring them down. All right.
Wow.
You know, it's going to cause all kinds of havoc in their life. And it's not the way to go. But Steve, as you mentioned, it speaks of a problem in a relationship. If you're doing that, then there's a problem in the relationship and you need to fix that problem.
Yeah.
I call it hot monogamy, Steve.
Well, it's a good term.
Outside of that, though, but the study from the Just Saying Institute was saying that these STD levels are at such a height because of these dating apps and people that can meet up with the open conversation of this is casual.
Yes.
Let's just do this and I get what I want, you get what you want, and we move on. And obviously some people are not doing that with protection, and that's a big problem.
Well, and remember, there's not 100% protection. I mean, let's talk about oral, as we say.
Yes.
Right? I mean, the bottom line is there's now an epidemic of HPV, human papillomavirus-induced throat cancer, because in men, that virus likes to hang out in the tonsil area. And I have about 5 or 6 patients that have had treatment for this.
I have a question about that. Is that only with someone who is playing the field, so to speak? Or if you're in a long-term relationship and you're not playing around, everything's fine, is that still a threat?
If they have HPV, all right.
Well, how do you get that?
Sexually transmitted. It's unbelievably common. That's why, and I want everyone to hear this, if you have someone, my boy is 10, when he's 11, he's getting the vaccine, because you want to get the vaccine your kids before they become sexually active, and it's extremely effective.
But let me clarify that again. You've been with someone for a long time. You know their sexual history. They're not messing around. You should be okay to play, right?
If they have documented HPV down there, then you're at risk.
Yeah, I know, but if they don't have a history of
it. Oh, if they don't have it, and no, it doesn't come out of the air.
Okay, there we go. So, right. Yes,
you don't
right.
get it from a toilet seat.
All right, good, because okay. I've thought about it.
Yeah, and you check.
You know, I just...
Can you put this in a bag to go?
Well, you know what made me think of that was that Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Exactly. Now, Michael Douglas has...
He was conjecturing that he may have gotten oral cancer from doing that with Catherine Zeta-Jones.
And he was looking for a way to blame her.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the risk is more than two partners. I mean, that's what some experts say.
Huh.
I mean, it's a problem. And, you know, you mentioned, well, we'll just do it. We find each other. We're on the app. And then we move on. Well, the problem is that sometimes it follows you.
Uh-huh.
And it goes on and on. And I'm going to write a book if I live to retirement called Hot Monogamy. And it's all about making you. If you get what you need at home or with your partner, then you don't need to go because it's all there, my friend.
And you live many years, and you start to realize what the important things in life, and you know these things that seem appealing at certain points in your life, they're ephemeral. They're nothing. No,
but, and besides, that's what pornography is for.
That's what porn is for.
Yeah.
Even from a purely carnal point of view, in my humble opinion, if you are in a loving, long-term relationship, the sex is way, way, way better than, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. That's my opinion. It's so much because there's caring. There's love. And they know what you like. And
they
know
will
what
let
they
you
like.
Fart, which is a big, honestly, to be let's be, you all warts and everything. They love you for who you are.
Well,
look, it's not a moral thing at all. It's a logistics thing.
Okay.
And
right.
You want to.
And you
do
care.
It right.
And we love you for that.
Thank you, Dr.
Mike. I love
Mike.
You guys. Love you.
Love you, Dr. Mike. Bye. Dr. Mike Sirigliano, a wealth of knowledge, as always. We're lucky to have him.
And only wants the best for us.
In our corner. All right. Thanks for the conversation. We're going to take a break. Why does that say genital herpes there?
Oh, he had me line up the bit from the genital herpes bit. Let me take that out.
Oh, okay. Because I mean, I can play it if you want, but
you can bypass it. We got Dr. Mike who gave us all the education.
Yeah, I was about to hit a music bed, and it would have gone right into that.
Well, now we have to.
Well, play it. Play it, guys. Here we go.
When I found out I had genital herpes, I was pretty devastated. But then I realized that genital herpes wasn't a curse, but actually a new friend to enjoy my active lifestyle with. The first thing I did was take my genital herpes kayaking. Wow, the rush of the cold water running over my genital herpes was truly exhilarating.
Woo-hoo!
It brought my genital herpes and me even closer together. And then, when my genital herpes and I climbed Mount Rainier in Seattle, we completely bonded and became like sisters. Like sisters where one of the sisters periodically oozes pus. So you see, genital herpes hasn't slowed me down at all. I'm doing more than I've ever done and enjoying it more because of genital herpes. Waiter, another round of beers for me and my genital herpes.
Genital herpes, because sometimes you'll find a best friend right where you've been scratching.
There it is.
It's beautiful.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we get back, Chip Chantry will be here. And we got a few other things cooking, too. And reminder, tonight at Casey's in Drexel Hill, Marissa, with one of your last opportunities to be a finalist for our trip
to
London with Green Legion and Miller Lite. She will be there tonight from 8 till 10. Miller Lite specials, don't miss it. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
Hey, gang, it's Preston. Listen, these days, you know how it is. You can get practically everything you want on demand. I mean, it's like our podcast. You listen whenever you want, when it's convenient for you. But did you know that you can even get postage on demand? Hey, all you need is Stamps.com. What is that? Well, I'm here to tell you, friends. With Stamps.com, you can access all the services of the post office and do it right from your desk. All available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You just click, you print, you mail, and you're done, my friend. Stamps.com will even send you a digital scale so you can weigh your letters and packages and print the exact amount of postage every single time. Here's what you got to do to get it all, gang. Right now, use Gadzooks for a special free offer. They have a 4-week trial that includes postage and the digital scale. So don't wait on this. You want to check it out now. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in the word Gadzooks. Once again, that's Stamps.com and enter Gadzooks. Check this out.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
If you've been to Helium Comedy Club, there's a good chance you may have seen this gentleman perform. He's a regular, and tonight he is going to be recording an album.
It's very cool.
Which is very cool. He's going to tell us more about that. So please welcome to our studio this morning, Mr. Chip Chantry.
Good morning.
Hey, Chip, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Nice to see you. Absolutely. Anytime. Now, what, you've grown up here your whole life?
I grew up in Montgomery County, and I'm in South Philly right now.
Okay. Where in Montgomery County?
I grew up in Eagleville, Pennsylvania. Sure. Yeah, sure. World famous for the prison and the rehab. That's where we go. So.
Honestly, but it's full service if you stop and think about it.
It is. Yeah, you get a little bit of everything.
I know where the Eagleville Shopping Center is.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, but I don't know where the prison and the rehab are.
They're right behind there. They keep them hidden. It's not something. It's not the shining gem of Eagleville that they.
So the store's up in front, and then they
just go in the back room, ask for the bathroom, and you go through the prison,
and then you go.
Yeah, and then it's like right behind the rehab.
Nice little tour.
It's got a whole bunch of.
It's wonderful.
They call that character.
It is character. It's a nice town. They're really progressive. Last year, they knocked down the old Burger King so that they could build a new Burger King. So
You got to change. You got to change with the times.
Yeah, exactly.
So we were talking before we went on, and Helium is now doing, they're sort of doing their own comedy album series, or they're promoting comedians to get this.
That's what it looks like. Yeah, so it looks like I'm the first artist. They're trying that, and
that's
it should be a lot of fun. Yeah, so I'm really excited to do it.
So you've worked with a lot of comedians, and you've opened for a lot of comedians. You're a hardworking man yourself, but this is a cool step to take. It's not your first time to this rodeo, but that Helium has become a formidable player in the world of comedy throughout the country now.
They have. We're lucky here in Philly. I mean, they have a couple locations now around the country, but every time you listen to comedians talk, they always bring up Helium as one of the best clubs in the country, especially the Philly one, too.
Tremendous, absolutely. Nice.
And Pat House is opening for your show tonight?
Unfortunately.
He's a friend.
I got to start with somebody not that great, and then I can look good.
Right.
That's how it works.
By comparison.
Exactly. No, Pat is hilarious, and he's my old roommate, and I love Pat. Yeah, I opened for his album. He's opening for my album, so he's the best.
Did you move into the city because it was easier to get to the comedy club? Or?
Yeah, when Pat and I lived together, we lived 8 blocks from Helium. So literally, we would just roll right over to Helium, back. There was a Wawa on the way back, so every night after the show. We must to gain 20 pounds in about 6 months.
I'm sure.
Every night, Helium and Wawa.
He also gained one of his cornerstone bits through Wawa. So,
exactly. There you go. I just got a gut. That's all I got out of it.
Right. Yeah. No, it's cool. And in those days, when I, in the formative years, when I was doing stand-up and you know, all that stuff, and I know you do improv as well. All these things they can be tough, but they're full of fond memories. So
absolutely.
That you have another comedian who's a buddy who you can do this with makes it special, I'm sure.
And it's so nice too, because when you first start out, people say the road up is always the most fun because we're just with each other all the time. So it's just a big party constantly, and we're just having fun. We're doing terrible comedy, and nobody respects us, and and we're getting no recognition. But we had so much fun together. Now we're doing a little bit more. We're on the road a lot, I don't get a chance to see Pat, for example. A whole lot, because we're both on the road, we're different places, we talk to each other on the phone, so it's just a nice time to come back together and enjoy it.
You're married now too, right?
I am, yes.
For a year? Has it been a year?
We just hit a year a couple weeks ago.
All right,
so, we're gonna do another one. We're gonna do two, I think. Yeah, we're gonna go for a second
for it.
Why not?
Yeah,
give it a shot. So with the recording of the album tonight, you got a bunch of friends coming out, or do you try to stack the deck like that, or just see what you get?
You know, hopefully friends will come out, hopefully people come see me. It's one of those things where you know, where it's like you have friends, it's a supportive audience, but you also want strangers there just to keep it fun and keep it interesting.
Well, and real. Yeah. And that matters. So to that point, are tickets available?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Tickets are still available. Go to heliumcomedy.com. There's still a couple tickets left. And, definitely come out, especially if you're a stranger.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So you have two different prices, right? You have a reserved seating price.
Yes, and then, reserved.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's where the watermelon will splash. You'll need the tarps. I don't want to give too much away, but
yeah. No, but there is a sledge-o-matic involved.
There definitely is. Yeah. I mean, it's an album. Might as well do that.
Did I read correctly that you write for Philadelphia Magazine?
I did for a while. Yeah.
You don't do that anymore.
On and off. You know, little things here and
freelance.
There.
Freelance. Okay.
Yeah, freelance. Yeah. I'm actually working on. I actually leave next week. I'm working on. I'm helping produce a game show up for NBC up in Connecticut in a couple weeks.
Pilot or
a pilot? So we're doing a pilot for a game show.
Very
and cool. Excited about that.
What's that conceit? Oh,
yeah, who's
I'm not supposed to talk a whole lot about it, but it should be fun. And I know the host, but I don't know. I honestly can't remember his name. It's a new concept.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it. So that should be.
All right. So it's not a rehash of an old. It's not a reboot of another.
It's not a reboot.
Okay. No. All right. Interesting.
Yeah.
Can I point something out?
I hope so.
You speak very fast.
I know.
your tempo is just really really quick. Have you always?
I've always done that, and I always want to stop and bring it down slower.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a lot to say, and I need
you jam
I need
it
to
in
stop.
There.
I jam it all in.
But your presentation on stage is a bit more relaxed. You're you.
That's all the pills.
It's all the pills.
It's just now.
So where do you get? I'm sorry. Where do you get most of your material from? Obviously, you're local,
right?
But you don't want to fall into the trap of everything is just one part of the country that as you travel, no one's going to get the other.
Sure.
References.
Luckily, I do stupid things all across the country. I'm always doing something dumb. So basically, it's just my opportunity to. Explain my side of the story.
Okay.
Because I always get into something stupid, and this is my chance to explain it.
All right. Anything recently that stupid that has happened to you?
I've a lot. I did. Well, I'll tell you this. A couple months ago, I was actually working with Todd Glass. I opened for Todd a lot. And he told me, so we were down in D.C., and it was really hot, and he was meeting me there. So he was flying from L.A. I was driving down. And he, of course, he gets to the club really early and to work with the band. He does the band. So he's like, just show up to the hotel and give him your name. I'll leave a key because I was going to stay in his suite, this big suite. So
he's like,
you can just stay with me. So I get to the hotel. It's really fancy. And the guy at the front desk looks like I don't belong there because I'm just sweating. I'm in shorts and a T-shirt. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I told him who I am. I'm staying with Todd. And I gave him my name. He's like, can I see your ID? You know, he's being very suspicious. So I give him my ID. And it's just Chip Chantry, Chantry. Pretty standard name.
Right.
He looks at it. He types something and he throws it back. And he's like, thank you, Mr. Chandley. You know, like, doesn't even give me the respect.
But I was like,
whatever. So he gives me the key. I go up. It's a beautiful suite. And I'm there for a couple hours. I didn't think Todd was going to come back. And it's not a big deal if he did. But I was just hot. I had to change anyway. So I just stripped down to my boxers.
Yeah.
I had to change, and I laid on the couch. He even left out a nice fruit platter for me.
Awesome.
So I'm like, Todd, so nice. And so I just sat there for 2 hours, watched TV in my boxers, eating this fruit, living the good life. And then I go in to get the ironing board. So because I wanted to press my suit for the night. And I open up Todd's closet in his bedroom, and there's a couple of dresses in there, like women's dresses.
Oh,
I'm like, what is, does Todd have another guest? What is going on here? Yeah. And then I noticed he's got a bunch of suits, too. We're in D.C. for 48 hours.
Yeah.
And then I look down to grab the iron, and there's a suitcase with a name tag on it. It said, from Springfield, Illinois, Robert and Marie Chandley.
No! No kidding.
Do you guys know who Robert and Marie Chandley are?
No.
Either do I. They're strangers. They're strangers. And I'm in my boxers for the last 2 hours. I have been in a stranger's hotel suite, eating their fruit. Like, you know how when you wake up sometimes, if you're in a strange place, you're having a weird nightmare, and you think there's a naked man in your hotel? I'm the naked man in the hotel room.
Wow. And,
Jesus.
And did you immediately think, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. I have to leave here right now.
100%. Because then I'm like, what are the stand your ground laws in D.C.? They can shoot me and be right.
Yeah.
The doorknob starts turning.
Oh, my God.
And you can't, what do you yell, surprise? You can't do that. So luckily, it was the maid, and she's like, you need more towels? I was like, no, we don't need any towels, because screw the Chandleys.
After what they did to you.
I did what any rational human being would do. I got my wits about me. I got all my stuff. I got dressed. I grabbed the fruit tray, and I left.
Chandley.
Mr. Chandley.
Oh, my God.
Is Todd a lot of fun to, we love having him in all the time. He's a great guy. but he is quirky beyond quirky. So, you know, especially when he comes in here a lot of times, and if he's done a little waking and baking.
Yes.
It's hilarious.
He's the best. I mean, he's so funny on stage, and he's been so great to me. And he's just, there's never a moment that's not funny with him.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite moments, we were in Raleigh, North Carolina a couple months ago, and we go to the show, and we're having a couple drinks, of course. We're having fun. We get back to the hotel, and it's a DoubleTree or something. It's the one where they give you the free warm cookies, the big chocolate chip cookies at the front desk.
Yeah.
It's great. And, of course, that's his favorite thing in the world. So we're both in. We had a couple of drinks in us. We get to the front desk, and it's 1 a.m, and he asks the woman at the desk. He's like, can I get a cookie? You know, and I was like, yeah, can I get a cookie, too? And he loves it. And he's chatting her up, and she's very sweet and all. Yeah. And you know, we start eating the cookie right there in front of her. And then Todd, he's in front of the desk, and she's behind it. He pretends to drop his cookie on the floor, and then he's like, I dropped my cookie on the floor. Can I get another one?
Oh, my God.
And she's like, oh, sure, honey. Yeah, there you go. And she gives it to him. And I'm laughing. The whole time, he didn't realize there's this 100-year-old security guard sitting there with his arms folded, just watching the lamest crime he's ever seen committed.
Bilking cookies.
He could have just asked for a second cookie. She would have given it to him.
I think they'd be all right with that. So, I mean, listen, I know that comedians are very, very supportive of each other. And I don't know if Todd is more supportive of comedians that are from this area because he's from this area, but he's really good to Blake Wexler, who used to be an intern of ours.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite people in the world. Blake.
Yeah,
he's great. Todd's been great to me and Blake. He takes us both on the road a lot, and you know, I'll stay with him out in L.A. when we go out there. We did a whole West Coast tour this past year.
How antiseptically clean is his house? Or a Todd Glass hotel room has got to be. And drama to strain clean.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Any fruit plates in the Todd Glass?
No fruit plates. Okay. That was the Chandleys the whole time. Todd didn't leave me anything.
I got to point this out because you do something that I love, Chip, and that is you and a friend of yours, Jeff, who you do with a podcast with, Jeff Lyons.
Yes, Jeff Lyons.
And you guys keep track of band names.
Yes.
And I have a list somewhere that I started to keep, and I've stopped added to it. But do you just notice things when people say them, or do you actively sit down and try to come up with names?
We try to come up with band names.
Oh,
so
okay.
We're both huge music fans, Jeff and I.
Right.
We have a podcast that we do together, and he's not a jam band fan. I was always been a Fish fan, and jam bands. And
of course, I don't wear my Fish shirt today.
Day you don't. And so, but I also realize that jam band names are ridiculous. So just during our podcast one day, we just started spouting out the most ridiculous band names we could, and then we just shot out a hashtag to see if anybody could come up with some.
See, what happens here is that organically there'll be a phrase or something or a collection of words that happen to fall into line. And Preston was writing them down for the longest time, and there's a master list somewhere, but there's, I think, some real organic gems that are there to be had. And listen, if you are a band, an upcoming band in the area, reach out to us. We might have something for you.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Actually, Jeff had, posted a whole bunch of band names, and it says free band names written by Jeff Lyons. I don't know what article where this was, but I'll read off a couple. Chocolate Draculas, Vacation Mustache. I like that one.
Vacation Mustache sounds good.
Fried Green Tornado.
Yeah.
Ghostface Chinchilla. That's a good one. Let's see. No, you hang up first. Hernia Mesh Lawsuit.
Well, that's a big thing, that the hernia mesh. You see commercials all the time.
Yeah.
Hernia mesh lawsuit. Let's see. Piano Man Jr., Art Link and the Letters. Space Chimps, the pear-shaped planets, which would be Earth, right?
I think so.
Team Pope, Potato Judge, Quarterback Princess. These are great. Fonzie and the Sit-On-Its.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Fonzie and the Sit-On-Its.
My one I had was, Anakin and the Younglings.
That's a good one. Yeah,
that was one that I had. The F Street Band, The Counting Cows, Von John Bovey. There's a whole bunch of them.
I like Dinosaur Senior.
Yes.
You have a Dinosaur
Canadian
Junior.
Ninja Warriors. So I love coming up with that stuff. That's cool that you I collect them, so to speak.
To the best of your knowledge, have any bands
Not that I know of, but I would love to. If there is a band out there, I would love to hear if
please,
they use one of the names.
There is a jam band out there, and I mean, legitimately, they're called Pigeons Playing Ping Pong.
Okay. Wow.
That is an actual band name.
Nice.
Pigeons Playing Ping Pong.
Nice alliteration. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, Chip is going to be performing at Helium's tonight. It's at 8 o'clock. It's only $15, and you need to get out somewhere where there's air conditioning because it's ridiculously hot, and that's perfect for you.
It's deadly.
And it's a great place.
It is. It's a phenomenal club.
So you get a bite to eat, you watch a great show, enjoy yourself, and who knows what's going to happen with this recording. Could be your it could be your breakthrough. Who knows,
This could be the big one.
Yeah.
The big one.
This
could
be
it.
Cool. All right. So if you need to get tickets, you can check in with heliumcomedy.com. And like we said, it's tonight, 8 o'clock. And not only Chip, but our buddy Pat House will be there, too. It should be cool. Good luck to you, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm excited about it.
Chip Chandley, was it?
Yes, Chandley.
Chip Chantry, guys. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
This summer. Surprise! Army is hitting house parties throughout the Delaware Valley, delivering our summer house party pack. Got a backyard barbecue, pool party, summer shindig? No matter what the party, we're going to help you get it started right. With food from Philly's own Dietz and Watson, premium meats and artisan cheeses, a case of Bud Light Lime or Bud Light Orange, and backyard party games courtesy of Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group. Hit up the contest page at WMMR.com to register your party to win MMR's Summer House Party Pack from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
I had a story in the Bizarre File the other day about a security guard who spent, 6 or 8 months videoing himself at work farting.
Yeah.
And it's just a shot of his face, a close-up shot. All you see is his face, and you hear the sound in the background. And they were put into a compilation of all these parts.
There's a lot of them.
And it took off virally. I think it was, who posted it? Barstool? Was it those guys? Yeah, Barstool Sports posted the videos, and it started taking off. And so we had mentioned it on the air, and sure enough, I get an email from the guy himself, who is known online as Paul Flart.
Yes.
His name is Doug, though.
Okay.
And he wanted to come on the show.
Why not?
So, absolutely. And actually is originally from South Jersey.
Is that right?
Yeah. So, let's welcome Doug or Paul Flart to the show this morning. Good morning, Doug. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. How we doing, guys? I'm doing great.
We're good. Listen, so You're originally from South Jersey. You moved to Florida to do this full-time security position that you had. So you went there for this job. How long were you working for this company?
Yeah, I moved down for other reasons. It wasn't just for this job, but I've been working there for almost a year. It'll be like a year next month, I believe.
Okay, and so half that time you spent filming yourself fart then.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you had also worked as a bouncer, correct, at a club?
Yeah, I was working in Atlantic City at a bar. I was a bouncer for about like 5 or 6 years. Yeah.
All right. Had you flirted with the farting concept while you were there, or was that something born of the boredom of a being a security guard?
No. Yeah. This is all something, you know, so new. It kind of came from, you know, having really great acoustics in the lobby of this hospital.
Sure. Oh, it was a hospital?
You know, one day, it was a hospital that I worked at. Yeah. And, you know what? One day I just let one rip and it sounded good. Sent to the group chat and, you know, everybody loved it. And eventually we were like, the world needs to see this. We need to get this out there. And Paul Flart was born.
So there are aesthetic calls on this. And I think it's interesting to note that you, whereas some might have been tempted to move the phone closer to the point of exit for better acoustics, you chose to show your face, your reaction, what it meant to you, each one. And that's kind of an artistic call. Did you have some doubts as to whether or not that was the approach?
I mean, the whole thing felt so natural and so right. I didn't really have any second guessing of what we're doing.
No.
After the first one.
It paid off.
It was just like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
It was just natural. You went with your instincts and it looks like they paid off. Although you got fired. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, after Barstool picked it up, you know, obviously I started going crazy, Lad Bible, Unilad, all that. And so it was just a matter of time, really, before somebody from my job
you know, high up in the chain of command saw it, and that's what happened, apparently. And, you know, they weren't really happy with it.
Do you know what the thing is, though, is, and I was trying to, and Preston and I were kind of going back and forth trying to figure out, for a brief point, you can see part of a badge you're wearing, but you can't ascertain from that the company you work for. And there's some letters on the wall behind you, but you can't see
where,
other than it might say Florida.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. They know who he is.
Yeah, but I mean, but I guess their angle would have been, well, it put the company in a bad light. But if you don't know the company, how could that happen? You know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's got to be some kind of liability. I don't hold them to any kind of fault. You know what I mean?
No, like, you understand.
They hired me because I was on my phone. And then here's 75 counts of it where it's proof that I'm on my phone.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense then.
I got you.
The liability of having somebody that famous, I guess, you know.
Well, did you have to stay fixed in that particular lobby, or did you have to make rounds as well?
No, I was front desk, first point of contact. That was it. Like 2 to 11 was my shift. Like,
okay.
Sitting there at that desk that entire time.
Okay. So now with this this notoriety, now what? What are you going to do?
So Paul Flart's going to keep going. That's number one. Paul Flart on vacation's coming up. We're going to travel around noticeable places, you know, and just let them rip.
All right. They got to be real, though. I mean, you're not going to...
100%. Everything is real.
All right. You know what? And I think you and our producer, Casey, here would get along wonderfully.
Well, I got this. I got the video emailed to me and tweeted to me hundreds of times because apparently we are kindred spirits.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Everybody, like, I've done a lot.
If you've done a bunch of radio interviews, Paul Flart, you learn step number one, not to curse, okay?
And they're all saying that, you know, they've never had a story submitted to them, you know, this many times in like, years.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you then. So at this level, have you been offered any gigs? You're going to be doing, you're creating your own content. But have you, you know, has anybody we might know reached out to you? Any celebrities, any heads of state made inquiries as to hiring you, things of that nature?
As far as hiring, I don't know. I've had people hit me up from like other security companies saying they run their own security and they would love to have me work for them.
Ah,
nice.
And all that. I am flying out to LA tomorrow to do some TV show.
Very nice.
Really? Which ones?
Can't talk about what it is. But I'll let you guys know as soon.
My guess is Grey's Anatomy.
No, I was thinking maybe something like Tosh.0 or something like
Tosh,
that.
Tosh,
yeah. Maybe. That'd be really, really
one
cool.
One of the late night shows.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Kimmel.
That's great.
Yeah. Kimmel,
this is right up Kimmel's. Kimmel's a radio guy,
yeah,
too.
I could see that. Well, listen, Doug or Paul or whatever you'd like to be referred to as. Keep in mind that that things like this are lightning in a bottle. That these things are very fleeting. They move very, very quickly. So whatever you decide to do, you know, try to use it up for as much as you can right now, man.
Yeah, I get it. Trust me, I get it. Everybody loves it. It's great. And I just want to, you know, figure out how to keep it going and
well,
make everybody happy.
May I suggest something? Can you find a large robotic vacuum and sit on it while it rolls around on the floor? Because online that stuff goes over big, too. And any of that stuff is huge on the internet. But it sounds like you're off and running, man. After you appear on that show, which you couldn't betray to us right now, let us know what it was, and we'll look for a clip from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Most definitely.
And did you you grew up in the air. Did you listen to MMR when you were here?
Yeah, I mean, I've gone to MMR barbecues and all that stuff.
Oh, man.
I grew up in South Jersey. Like, I've been in that whole scene. I listen to it all the time.
Dude, that's awesome.
Excellent.
All right. Yeah, that's why, like, my friends hit me up and told me, they're like, hey, you're on Bizarre Files. Like,
from humble beginnings.
Listen, of course, an MMR listener would become famous for farting.
Yeah,
right?
Well, we kind of promote it.
President Steve Show listener is famous for farting. That's awesome. Well, listen, man, have fun with it. Enjoy. And we're happy that you're getting this exposure and as soon as you know when you can reveal the information about being on TV, let us know, okay?
Yeah, most definitely.
All right, cool. And good luck to you, Doug.
Yeah.
Doug Paul Flart, guys.
Yeah.
All right, man. We'll see you later. Oh my God. That's funny. And the, what's great is his facial expressions don't change.
Uh-huh. It's pretty
with every fart. It's just straight ahead, like I'm doing this.
Yeah,
I'm farting right now.
And you get a little raised eyebrow.
Hmm. Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. That one had some substance to it. All right. Well, good luck with that.
That was by the way, that was Kathy's request that we get him on.
Yeah, liked about that.
We had to add another guest on today.
She's
for
big
it.
Fan. Big fan.
All right, let's do the bizarre file
now. Bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's bizarre file.
All righty, it's gonna. We don't have a sponsor. No. I'm gonna get right in.
Come on,
right
man.
Now. Okay, so. A nine-month-old capuchin monkey named Jojo used to enjoy Mondays at Carrabba's Italian Grill restaurant in Florida until she bit a boy who was holding her hand.
Oh, no!
The monkey's owners, Mary and Richard Van Houten, bring Jojo and another monkey to the restaurant each week to eat outside on the patio. Waitresses and customers enjoyed seeing the animal so much they began calling it Monkey Mondays. But on July, on July 16th, another diner, Joseph Ignelzi, who was petting Jojo as she sat in her high chair, insisted his son Jackson pet the monkey, even though one of the owners warned that the monkey was being a bit hyper.
Well, it's not the owner's fault then.
Jojo was caressing the boy's hand, brought it to her mouth, and was nibbling on it when something startled her and she bit down.
They had no choice but to beat it to death with a hammer.
Rest in peace.
They grabbed something from the kitchen. A
right,
frying
right,
pan.
Yeah, a mallet. One of the meat tenderizers.
The boy's father took him to the hospital where doctors cleaned his finger and applied antibiotics. Investigators went to the owner's home and they observed Jojo and three other pet monkeys all in appropriate cages and supplied with necessary stimulation, food, water, and space. Jojo had her vaccinations except for rabies, which the Van Houten said their veterinarian told them was not a recognized vaccination for monkeys in Florida.
All right.
Officials cited the couple for two misdemeanors, having an exotic animal that injured someone and not having the rabies vaccination. Mary Van Houten said Jojo now has the rabies vaccination, but they would no longer let strangers touch their monkeys. And the owners of Carrabba's restaurant said that they would no longer allow monkeys on their patio.
Well, it's off to P.F. Chang's.
I guess so. Authorities say a man has been arrested in Southern California after deputies found 800 pounds of stolen lemons inside his car.
I like lemons.
Sheriff's officials said 60...
When life hands you lemons, fill your car with them.
69-year-old Denizio Fiores was arrested Friday on suspicion of theft of agricultural products.
Here come the cops. I better peel out.
Deputies were investigating recent farm thefts when they stopped his car on Friday. Inside the car, deputies say they found several large bags of freshly picked lemons.
Ooh, freshly picked lemons.
And they believe they were stolen from a nearby farm, so he was busted for that.
It's Monkey Night at Carrabba's.
Don't miss Monkey Night this week at Carrabba's.
Every fine Italian restaurant has a Monkey Night.
A woman refused to pull over during a police chase because she thought that the officials were members of the Illuminati.
Oh, of course. Okay.
Understood. A bizarre traffic stop, the woman was pulled over to and asked to see the deputy's ID. When the deputy didn't comply, she took off and led him on a chase.
How many of our women are we going to lose to the Illuminati?
A second car with flashers joined soon after, and at one point almost struck the deputy. Eventually, one of the cars pulled over, and deputies smashed a window so they could handcuff the driver and eventually got her to the ground. The woman ranted and spoke gibberish while accusing the police of being witches and warlocks working for the Illuminati. Deputies found the driver of the other car and also arrested her. Oh, you've heard of mud wrestling before, but how about gravy wrestling?
Gravy wrestling.
Oh, yeah. On Monday, competitors plunged into a pool of gravy in Britain to grapple in the World Gravy Wrestling Championship. Video taken of the event, which takes place at the Rose and Bowl restaurant in Stexted, Lancashire, England, shows men and women grappling in a pool filled with gravy. The annual event raised money for the East Lancashire Hospital.
There might be something to this. We're watching a
yeah, that looks
a young
okay.
lady and a
very short skirt.
Yeah.
What is and that?
They're beating sports the piss bra. Out of each other in gravy.
I'm actually entranced.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file this morning. We shall take a break. We shall return. And when we come back, we're going to get the lesson question. But before that, Kathy, secret text word caller. I need a number, please.
25.
Yes, you did it.
Yeah.
215-263-WMMR, caller 25. Let's see if you know the secret text word. We'll be back in a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Stone Temple Pilots. The Record Company. I've got this left to fix. Threw it all out in a Shinedown. Cause it's about to get
heavy. New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
It's 5 minutes after 10. We are the Preston and Steve Show. And we welcome you to this Wednesday morning. Maybe you're just getting up and getting started. It's going to be a warm one today. It's going to feel like 105 degrees, maybe more. It's going to be cooling off a tiny bit tomorrow, 91. We might have a afternoon thunderstorm.
I'm going to bring a sweater.
Yeah, you should. But then by Friday and Saturday, better. In the high 70s, low 80s. So we'll get a little bit of a break. But a three-day nasty one that we've had to deal with. Hey, we're looking for our secret text word winner. And so I'm going to go to the phones. Everybody, guys, this is Mark.
Mark.
Hey. Hi, Mark.
How you doing, Mark?
I'm all right. How you doing, Chief?
Wonderful. So, Mark, did he say Jesus?
I think he said Chief like, Chief. As
oh,
a joke.
Chief.
Oh, yeah.
He was talking to Nick
Murphy. Jesus would be cool.
All right. Just randomly call somebody Jesus.
Nice to talk to you, Jesus. Hey,
thanks, Jesus.
Mark, do me a favor. Give me the secret text word, please.
The text word is a varmint.
Varmint. You are correct, sir. And that means that we are going to give you some tickets for the Outlaw Music Festival, my man. Hang on just a second. We'll get your information. Willie Nelson.
Can't wait to get on the road.
And family will be there.
Mm.
Along with Van Morrison, Tedeschi Trucks Band, Greenski Bluegrass, and much more at BB&T Pavilion on Saturday, September 15th. Tickets are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com, so get those tickets. God, I love this song.
It is a great song.
Seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Mike Huckle was our random texter and won. He is from Philadelphia, so we will give him those tickets to go to the Outlaw Music Festival. So Ticketmaster.com to get those tickets. Let's do music. No, let's not. Let's not do music.
No.
Let's do the lesson question. And today's lesson question, we are going to give away a pair of tickets for Judas Priest and Deep Purple. A little bit different than the Outlaw Music Festival. And the question I have for you this morning is, Steve's first date with his wife was whale watching, but unfortunately they didn't see any whales because they were where? 215-263-WMMR. All right, Steve's first date with his wife was whale watching, but unfortunately they didn't see any whales because they were where? Let's see if you know the answer. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now and we will do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And what stories do you have for us this morning, Steve?
Excuse me as I swallow my own spit because that's what I like to do for drinking purposes. Kylie Jenner selling a tract of land next to her current home that she had just purchased for $5 million. Kylie says she originally bought the lot to build horse stables, but now says she really wants a spaceship. She might have too much money. He was a kid when his band Hanson broke big, and now adult Taylor Hanson is expecting his sixth child with wife Natalie. Taylor says he loves having a big family and is, quote, blessed to have a body that produces rivers of semen.
Oh my God.
And finally, Nicki Minaj's ex-actor and rapper boyfriend Safari signing a deal with Doc Johnson to create a life-size replica of his legendary unit for sale. The Safari Dildo will begin shipping in time for Valentine's Day and will be delivered by a company that specializes in transporting pianos. That's your Hollywood Trash.
All righty. We shall see if you were paying attention this morning. Steve's first day with his wife was whale watching, but unfortunately they didn't see any whales because they were where. And I'm going to Allie for the answer. Allie, good morning.
Good morning. They were in Arizona.
Arizona, correct. Very well done, Allie. Hang on. You just won yourself some tickets as MMR Rocks Judas Priest and Deep Purple September 9th, BB&T Pavilion. You can get the WMMR $9.33 all-in lawn offer, which is available while supplies last, and there's no service charge and no password needed either. So you can get the complete details and links at WMMR.com.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
Good housekeeping.
I have just a handful of stories for you this morning. We'll start with this. On Tuesday, Loudwire reported rumors that Austin Carlisle could be joining Linkin Park and taking Chester Bennington's place. A few hours later, the former of Mice and Men vocalist had responded. He tweeted out, "Chester is one in a billion. There's no way myself or anyone else, for that matter, would ever be able to replace him. Performing Faint every night on our European tour together and festival stateside was one of the most special memories of my career. New project, yes. Linkin Park, no." Carlisle was recently in the hospital himself. He was in for his second spine surgery. He left of Mice and Men in December of 2016 due to illness.
He's got two spines?
But had recently posted about creating music again. No, it was his second surgery, one spine.
Oh.
Metallica has teamed up with watchmaker Nixon for a new line of timepieces.
It's a great little timepiece.
Some of the wristwatches are simple, featuring a Ride the Lightning backdrop, or an image lifted from a push head design shirt.
Not familiar.
I'm not familiar with push head. Puss head.
Puss head.
Do you have that watch line from Pusshead?
It's P-U-S.
I understand. They're lovely.
H-E-A-D. Anybody know what that means? Is that a Metallica thing? I don't know.
No clue.
What?
Yes, I'm interested in purchasing a watch from Pusshead. Thank you, I'll wait.
One watch.
I'm wearing a large watch right now. It's sort of a man's watch.
One watch is a sanitarium-themed piece with a twisted cage.
He's an artist. It's a person.
Oh,
Pusshead.
Really?
Yeah, Pusshead. Yeah.
Pusshead.
And I guess, or push, I don't know, whatever.
Pusade?
Maybe.
Pusade.
His real name, yes.
Yes, he stars in Jackass.
His real name is Brian Schroeder, and he's an artist, record label owner, and a writer within the hardcore punk and heavy metal cultures.
Ew. Pusshead.
One watch is a sanitarium theme piece with a twisted cage. There's also a black album watch that's unless you're a Metallica fan, you may not even know what it represents. I mean, it's just literally all black. Another watch has a cracked look to the face representing Injustice for All. All are available through the Metallica website, and prices range from $150 to $750.
So it's sort of disturbing imagery.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's off of their album. So
yes.
There's Master Puppets, Hardwired, and a special limited edition was the Sanitarium. They have Seek and Destroy. They have Ride the Lightning as well, and Kill 'Em All.
All from the Pusshead Holiday Collection.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys probably remember Pusshead from his days in Septic Death.
Yes.
He was in Septic Death from 81 to 96.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I forgot about that guy.
Uh-huh.
And then one last story. A Johnny Ramone tribute brought out an all-star lineup of legendary musicians over the weekend. Green Day's Billy Joe Armstrong, Duff McKagan of Guns N' Roses, Steve Jones of the Sex Pistols, as well as comedian Fred Armisen took the stage for some punk rock classics. According to Armisen, in the spirit of punk rock, the surprise group of artists practiced a few times for their set, but not too much. Each year, Johnny Ramone's widow Linda puts on a celebration for her late husband's life and has an acoustic jam for a few hundred fans. According to Forbes magazine, the audience was also star-studded. Morrissey and artist Shepard Fairey were among the attendees.
Shepard Fairey?
Yeah, it's Pusshead's rep.
Damn it.
The annual tribute took place at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery in Los Angeles. And that's it. So I have music news for you this
Exciting.
Morning. One more break to take. Come back in a second. Letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. And reminders about your last opportunities to win that trip to London with us and Green Legion and Miller Lite. We'll get to that when we return. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Alexa.
Amazon's voice-activated personal assistant, Alexa, will take you right to MMR's brand new skill. It's the easiest way to open the station live stream and our audio on demand. Simply say, Alexa, open MMR.
I want to remind you about tomorrow, 3 o'clock, it starts the Back School A to Z. And I'll reiterate it. It's us. Listen, and I know the overwhelming majority of MMR fans love the Back to School, the A to Z, but it's one of those that we here as the staff, we love a lot of the promotions that we do, but as far as on-air programming goes, it's by far, I think, a staff favorite.
Yes.
Because we get to play so many cool things and unexpected bits of music that that pop up from time to time throughout the Back to School A to Z, that it makes it a really cool event for everybody to be a part of. Listen to it, as much of it as you can. Obviously, you have to live your life, and you can't stay by the radio the whole time.
Do you? Do you really have to live your life and not listen to this from beginning to end?
But you will be happy, and you will maybe discover some things that you were not aware of, that bands you were aware of and you didn't know they had these songs, or bands you've never heard of as well.
Do you know what we find? I know you know this as well. I end up buying a lot of music during the time that, yes, I'm listening to the A to Z weekend.
Yes, I do the same, yep, thing. And we love that about this whole event. So it starts tomorrow at 3 o'clock. And goes for probably a week, 9 days. I don't know how long, yes, it'll last. We'll see. But it's
every estimate has been wrong.
It's presented by Fred Bean's Family of Dealerships. And we're excited to bring that to you once again. And Bill wanted us to remind you that there will be some hits in there, too.
So yes, of course. Well, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah. So thank you to Chip Chantry, who was on this morning.
Chip Chantry.
He's recording an album, a comedy album tonight at Helium Comedy Club, and he'll be there at 8 o'clock. Pat House is opening up for him, so it should be a good time. And how about Paul Flart?
Paul Flart.
His real name is Doug. He's local. He farts a lot. And he was on our show.
And we had him on.
And we had him on.
What if he ends up, because this is up for grabs now, what if he ends up becoming the new James Bond?
Wouldn't that be great? And we would have a relationship with him. He reminds me of somebody. Somebody I know, and I can't place it. Because it's a close-up shot of his face.
Is she in the studio right now?
Yeah. I can't place it, but he reminds me of somebody. All right, anyway. All right. Thanks to those guys for being on the show. We need to do the letter of the day, Case.
I'll try it.
Dark.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
I, as in indigo.
All right, we have a $500 Modell's Sporting Goods gift card that we're going to give away. You can save money now on all your game day and back-to-school gear at your local Modell's Sporting Goods. Buy any pair of footwear, and you get a second pair half off.
What?
Some restrictions apply.
You crazy, man.
When you got to save, you got to go to Mo's. So we will give that away. Listen, we're giving that away tomorrow. We have a short work week for us heading into a holiday weekend, just to give you a heads up on that. So if those of you are trying to win, then you will want to be aware of that whole thing. I'll thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Duncan. Also brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show, and Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Tonight, Marissa Magnata, one of your last opportunities to be a finalist for our trip to London. She is going to be at Casey's in Drexel Hill from 8 to 10 p.m. Miller Lite specials and your chance to win. And then the very last one is the following night in Philadelphia at Finn McCool's. Miller Lite will be in attendance.
Go to them. Give it a shot.
$3.50 Miller Lite drafts and $4 Miller Lite bottles. So you have been warned. Tomorrow in our program, in studio, Kim Delaney.
Yes, sir.
Kim Delaney.
Yeah.
That's cool. She's also a local girl.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll spend time with her and do some more stuff. We'll do some giveaways. That's it. We are done. Rage on and have yourself a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Hey, Preston and Steve listeners. Was born and raised in Delaware my whole life. And there's no way that you guys are getting $5,000 for a PC license plate. Yeah, they throw money around for them big dogs, but you can go right to the DMV and request a low-digit plate, and you're not going to turn around and sell it for $5,000 in the parking lot. Good luck on that moving money, lady.
Next message.
Who wants to wild the pony? Who wants to ride it?
Next message.
For the last month and a half, it's either been raining or so hot that you don't want to be outside. Just admit it, summer people. Your season sucks. It's the worst season easily.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.